Fool Podcast. What's up, Fool Podcast? I'm right here, Felipe Esparza, with Rodrigo Torres, the host of the year. Now we have the co-host of the year. Eric Rivera is here all the way. You know, he just left the kids with a nanny and shit growing up.
I'm like the sixth man here.
Yeah, fuck it. Remember, man, I was talking about when I first started? I started off at this comedy club, The Natural Fudge. And we have Brian Holtzman here, and he talked about it. And we also had Al Berman here.
Oh, yeah.
He talked about it. And we also had Jamie Kennedy, bro.
Yeah.
And you know the people that I started with at this place where they would sell vegan food. I didn't even know it was vegan food.
Uh-huh.
The owner would go, hey, don't forget to try the fucking nut burger. How you comment? Don't forget to spend $3. So, yeah, man, we got Ruby Quintana, man, originally from the Valley, right?
Valley?
Yeah. Originally, 818, where are you from?
Oh, originally from right there, Hollenbeck, Mac, by Hollenbeck Park, East LA. Then,
for real?
It got all crazy, and my mom moved us all out to Santa Fe Spray.
Órale, pichi
catarata. They don't know where it is, so, right? Yeah, exactly.
These fools know, bro. They know. We have our biggest listeners are from 213 and 323-818-951-909, dog, 714.
562.
Yeah, they change your area code, huh?
And then also we have people in Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
Also, anybody who moved from LA, who lives somewhere else, listen to this podcast. All the way to in Japan, we have a guy who translates this shit into Japanese.
All right.
And we have a guy named Glenn Carling in Ireland. What's up, fool? He watches it on YouTube.
And Os Warrior in Australia.
Yeah, Os Warrior in Australia.
So, wait, do you got What's Up, Fool t-shirts in Japanese?
If you're signing them, bro, I want my cut.
Only the bootlegger deal.
It's spelled F-U. What's up, fool?
What's up, Kung Fu?
What's up, fool, man? Eric Rivera, how are you been, man? Last time we saw you, we were talking about El Chicano, right?
Yeah, I went to go see it. I went to go support.
That movie made $780,000 in 600 theaters, so it was like... If you when I went to go look it up, it was actually top 10 movie.
Oh, that's nice. Tough.
Hell yeah. I went to go see it too.
So there's to be a great movie that fucking like if you spent $30 million to make your movie and El Chicano is above you, you should start making films.
Right.
Start documentaries and shit.
Yeah, man. So that's the guy. It's a movie called El Chicano. It probably played in Visalia where you're from now.
Yeah, when the
documentary. Byron, you still at 818?
Yes, sir. Yes,
where?
I went right down yonder way, over there, Pacoima.
What's up, fool? Pacoima.
But
where you grew up? Stay up to the mic.
Oh, yes.
Where you from, though, originally?
Pacoima. Born and raised.
Damn, Pacas. Like Danny Trejo.
That's right.
Damn, my really?
Son, yeah, dude. My stepson, actually, son. Uh-huh. He graduated from Pacoima.
Oh, really? What school?
Pacoima Junior High School.
Did he? That's right down the street.
Right outside, man.
Well, it's in Pacoima, so.
Well, it's in Pacoima.
I wouldn't give these down the street. Right.
We wouldn't be in Burbank, so hey.
We're Ricky Dunn, man. He's like a Christian now, but I fooled an animal back in the day.
What happened, bro?
Like, when I first met this guy, like, I was going to this place called the Natural Fudge, and I would see, like, the Mooney Twins there, man. And I would see, like, Brian Holtzman. He used to close it out. Nobody could follow him because the owner would get mad and just tell you to him, goes, fuck off, no more comedy tonight. Because he'll bag on her so hard, dog. Yo, that was your fucking flat ass, bitch. Like, really, like, hardcore, right?
Yeah.
Like, calling her a flat ass with your flat titties. And then you have to go up. So they would have a comedian go up. And then when you're performing, some young punk group was setting up behind you.
Yeah.
So then they would play a set. And then when they're getting off, a comedian is up there. So it was like shitty rock band.
Yeah.
And then there's people there, man, that woke up that morning and they wanted to do comedy and went to the Natural Fudge.
Yeah. And then you do the midnight show. You're there until like 2 in the morning.
I never went for the midnight show.
No?
I never. It was private. I guess I got to know about it.
Yeah. None of your business.
So I'm watching Alonzo Bowden is there. And then they have posters of comedians that were there, like... Rita Rudner.
Oh, wow.
Really?
And all these comics, right? The weigh-ins.
They ain't got me up there?
And then I asked Alonzo Bowden, because I didn't know who was who, right? I was new. And I said, who are these people? He goes, these are against the stars.
Is that what it is?
These two fools walked in there, bro, and killed them, bro. Like, nobody else was funny, bro. Like, they were funny, but not, like, professionally, where they were getting laughed back to back. That's how Ruben Quintana came in there, bro. The fucking long ass ponytail. Looking like a big, big ass buff fucking Johnny Redcorn. From King of the Hill. Like a fucking, and I felt good when he showed up because I didn't know how to dress, you know? Like to be a comedian, I thought you had to dress a certain way. So I just had like a coat, like Fozzie Bear. Fozzie Bear?
Yeah, Fozzie Bear.
Yeah, so I had like a coat and I had a bolo, bro. I couldn't find a tie.
Full set of bolo.
You had that fool came in. Okay, man, bolos are in.
You had the comedian sitcoms 80s outfit on, yeah, that jacket.
I was like Paul Reiser back in the day.
I was dressed like Henry Shaw. So this fool came in there, bro, killing it, bro. Like, blowing it up, and I was dying.
You've
was,
always gave this fool props.
Everything was relatable to me, bro. The fool came up with fucking a Batman and Ruben. Yeah. Bato Locos, whatever.
Bato Man.
Let me go, bro. Do it, bro.
The Bato Man. Yeah. Able to spray paint tall buildings with a single can. Faster than a drive-by shooting. More powerful than a chorizo burrito. Orale.
So if
you need help, don't send up the bat signal. Just look for the low rider in the sky.
And then he's got new. Ten, 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 ten,
yeah,
ten,
yeah.
Ten.
With War?
Ten, ten. Yeah,
yeah, that was cool.
But back then, dog, like, there was no one else. You know, there was Paul Rodriguez, Carlos Mencia, but I didn't know who they were.
I saved Tommy Davidson.
That's right. What happened, bro? Tell us.
Because we were at what was the name of that place?
The
LA Cabaret.
Yeah. The other cover,
right? And Tommy Davidson, he was the MC, right? And this one Texas dude, a big old tall cowboy, he wouldn't get off the stage. And Tommy was giving him the light, giving him the light, giving him the light. And he got up there and he told the guy to get off. And the guy reached over and was going to attack Tommy. And I saw that from the bar, the screen, right? So I ran up there and I still had my Pendleton all buttoned up to the top and everything with my bandana on. And I jumped up on the stage and I tackled the dude.
Damn, dude. Took that fool down?
Yeah.
This fool wore a bandana, bro, on stage. like fucking... Salazar, what's his name?
Oh, Angel Salazar.
Yeah,
check it out.
Bandana, bro.
Check it out.
Did you tackle that fool?
I tackled him, man. Got him off the stage, and then Tommy didn't know what to say. So let's give it up for Vato, man. One more time.
He really is a superhero. Wow. It was a good old days.
He had a Pendleton cape, bro.
At least you had a Pendleton, though.
So when did you guys start, man? How did you guys meet each other?
Oh, at Byron's, the reason why I came into existence, other than my mom and dad. Yeah, so hey.
Yeah.
So tell them what happened, man. How you used to hide behind.
His mom used to call me Spooky.
Yeah. See, my mom was racist, bro. She's in heaven now, but she was racist, you know?
But she loved me, though.
Yeah, she loved Byron. She's the only black guy she liked.
I mean, it's shadow. She called him Spooky.
Because my other, my other friend, Sherman, and he's got a podcast, too. His dad was our karate instructor, right? So every time he would come over and I would do something bad, she would blame it on the fact that I'm hanging out with the black dude, right? And every time he'd come over, she'd go, I viene ese spooky, you know? She didn't speak English, but she knew the slurs, right? The racial slurs, right? So, hey. But Byron, you were cool. She loved you, man.
It was, a bondigo soup.
Albondiga, bro.
Did I say it right?
Yeah, you say it right.
All
right,
cool. All right, so
you want to have more than one bowl to say it right.
Yeah, bone guys.
It's like hog mouth. Like,
that's what I thought it was.
Bodang bones.
Yeah, something porkish. That's what I thought. And it was looked good. It was soup. Ruben said, well, be careful with it. I said, oh, whatever, man. So I took then like, and I was sipping, and then the heat got me right there in my throat and grabbed me and choked me. Like, you remember that?
Yeah.
Right at the table.
You were choking on what?
On the spices.
On the chile.
Oh, my God.
Y'all told me that, man. Love that old lady. Mm-hmm. That's spooky. You okay? I mean, her face was like, oh, you okay?
You were neighbors?
Nah.
No, we're just homies.
See, I met Byron when I was working up at Home Savings.
Right.
And, yeah, you had a job in a bag, dog?
Yeah, back before everything collapsed.
That was a first
part of the
collapse.
Back in the day,
they were having a lot of Chicanos there.
Hey, they're not in existence anymore, but we robbed that place blind, baby.
That was my first time I got a checkbook with that Home Savings. It was a badass building. They had a big one in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Right there on Sunset.
With marble and statues and all kinds of stuff.
And we supply everything for the all United States of
checkbooks or what?
Everything. Checkbooks.
Whatever you see, man. Pens, papers, laptops. They didn't have laptops back then, did they?
And we shipped it out to everybody.
Yeah.
And I was doing comedy. I had a partner at the time, the comedy team of Byron and Charles, way back.
Damn! Yeah. Byron and Charles?
Byron and Charles. And then after that.
What kind of comedy you guys do?
Negro comedy.
like who was a straight man?
Oh, Charles was. He was the perfect straight man. He would and set it up, and then I would come in there and knock him down with a punch. The funny thing is when we broke up,
I was just used to doing the punchline. I had to do both, but I only knew the punchline.
That's a lot of work because he had to stand on this side of the stage and then go to this side of the stage. And I was like,
people aren't laughing. Why ain't they laughing?
It must be that fourth
wall. And the man
said,
ha, ha, ha.
You were just up there throwing out punchlines.
No, they had a wardrobe change.
How hard is it to have a duo?
We grew up together, so it was easy. And that's all we used to do. Like when we used to hang out at the club or whatever, we do our riffs. But we didn't even think of it as riffs. We just being natural. And then we took it on. We did radio. Radio took us to stage, and then boom.
Wait, why'd you guys break up? Was it like an ego thing?
Well, no. That year, we were slamming it. We were crushing it. And then when that year ran out, our material ran out. And then we had to start having hard times.
All the bomb. Current events?
We were bombing. We couldn't figure it out. And I was like, well, let's go to the Comedy Store and let's just work at it and try to figure it out. And he was like, nah, man, I don't know.
Once the killing stopped, he was out. He was I can't do
No hard times,
we were at Robin Harris's
Comedy Theater. Damn.
Yeah, we were out there, and we did so bad, because Robin Harris used to bag on everybody. Damn. Everybody. We were so bad, he didn't even bag on us. He said, get the niggas a hand. And we had a long walkway all the way down, the walk of shame.
That was a tough room.
It was.
Yeah, don't go to the bathroom in that room.
No.
The spotlight?
Yeah, the spotlight all the way down.
This room was a black room, Eric. It was called the Comedy Act Theater. A lot of BET comic reviews were taped there and auditioned there in the early days.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But across the street was some bomb-ass barbecue.
Yeah, it was. I remember.
But there was nowhere to sit. It was just two windows. Pay and get your food.
And get out. Pay and get out.
Yeah. I went to go, where do I eat? Where do I sit down at? He goes, turn around, see whatever you want. The parking lot.
There you go. That big old parking
lot. They give you the brown bag.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Did you perform there too?
Yeah. I remember one time we were, it was off of Crenshaw, right?
Uh-huh. And 43rd and Crenshaw.
We were driving up there and some dude crawled out of the manhole. Were you there? Right? He crawled out of the manhole.
It was an N-word turtle. It was a ninja turtle.
I said, man, I wonder how much you're charging them for renting that place. Right. But Byron used to sit behind us in the lunchroom, and it was me and Darren Stewart. Remember Darren Stewart from South Central, right? Nickerson Gardens, that's where he was from. And Byron used to sit behind us and listen to everything that we said, and then he'd go and bag on people.
Yeah, I would write it down because he wasn't using it at the time. I'm like, oh, that's funny. And I would give him the premise as a real story and let him come up with the punchline. Oh, that was funny. Yeah, okay. Hey, man, so what would you do with that girl? I'll do this. I'm writing that down. Then I approached him. I said, hey, man, you're pretty funny, dude, because he was bagging on somebody really hard and tore him up. And I said, dude, you should come on stage.
Right, Joe. Don't say the last name. I don't want to hear
it. He was a real ninja turtle.
Yeah. Another ninja turtle.
Yeah.
Anyway, Byron said, hey, why don't you come on out and do an open mic? I ain't going to do no open mic, man. And everybody in the warehouse is like, oh, you chicken. I ain't going to do it. Well, all right, well, Corona's in it. I'm all right. Let's go.
Yeah.
And the rest was
What was the first place at?
The LA Cabaret. Yeah, off of Ventura Boulevard.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Balboa.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. So
remember that?
How did it go?
I went to the Balboa Theater when what's it called? Comedy Cabaret. I went there during when it was done. Because I looked at the photos, and it looked like it was happening at one time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, you guys going there when it was packed?
Yeah.
Because when I went there, it was like dead, dog.
Oh, the owner has sold it, I believe, because he wanted to run for city council or something, because they were really taxing him on zoning or things like that, and then he lost. So after that, it really spiraled after that.
That's always the worst when you go to a club and it's at the tail end, but you see the pictures of the good old days. You're like, God, this place was great.
That place had a lot of good old days. Like Thomas Davis said, was a staple at that place.
It was good. It was kind of like, you know how the Comedy Store has too many rooms? But, you know, it's just kind of like, imagine the bar. And what room do you like the best over the Comedy Store to perform in? Do you like the original, the main? Which one do you like?
Belly room for me.
The Belly Room?
Belly Room, yeah.
Okay, so imagine the Belly Room and just a bar and people. And that's it. It's a perfect combination.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah. It was 90-seater, right?
Yeah.
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 Something like that. Oh, yeah.
But then the second owner came in and tried to add comedy into the bar. On the outside, I had two rooms.
And then,
he was an idiot, bro. I mean, Chris Tucker came in one day and tried to go up, and he didn't know who he was, and he turned him away. Ooh. And he was already famous.
Oh, yeah.
What a loser.
But that guy was used to booking bands, dog. How can you go from music to comedy, man?
Especially if you don't know what's up.
Yeah. And he didn't want to listen to the young comics. You know, like, Ralphie May was telling him what's up. Hey, man, put my boy up. He kept telling him, put my boy up. And I was standing right in front of him. He still didn't put me up.
Wow.
I was driving home sad with Ralphie May. Aww. That's the worst time. They don't put you up, huh?
Yeah.
Never happened to you?
All the time. They still don't put me up.
When did you guys meet? When did you guys meet? Like, when did you start meeting? How would the first show go for you?
The first show went great. I mean, I guess for any
comic.
Your
first joke?
First joke? I don't remember. It had to do with probably growing up in East Los, you know? Probably growing up poor and jumping.
What high school did you go to?
Me? I went to a Santa Fe High School.
Junior high, Hollenbeck?
No. Junior high was at Lake Center, so my mother pulled us out. You know.
It was crazy, huh? Back in the days, huh?
Yeah. So I don't remember my first joke. It had to be about dating. It had to be about dating Mexican girls or something, you know?
Yeah.
You know, that's how we all start, right?
Something like that.
Yeah, with all those types of jokes or Mexican mamas. And I don't remember any of it. I just remember the laughs.
You did the tamale.
Yeah, yeah.
the masa joke.
Felipe loves that joke.
I love that joke. They did a bit of how'd it go, bro?
Let's see.
We were so poor.
We didn't have G.I. Joes.
Yeah, we didn't have G.I. Joes.
My mom would make tamales.
Yeah.
And she made tamales shaped like a G.I. Joe.
We used to have the hand-me-downs. We used to make our presents. We didn't get G.I. Joes. We got my mother one time, she gave me a G.I. Joe made out of a tamal. She called it masa joke.
Hilarious.
Oh, man.
So now, when did Vato Man show up?
Like, that started when we started doing the Laugh Factory. Yeah. When Jamie thought that, you know, he would join in on the wave.
Of Def Jam.
Yeah.
And have a Latino show.
Yeah, because they had a wave for black comedians, and then the Latino wave came in, what, 1992-ish or 94?
94.
Yeah. And a lot of people think that wave started off with us, but nah, man, that all started back in the day with like Freddie Prinze and Cheech and Paul Rodriguez, yeah, before George came out. You know, no disrespect to George or anything like that, but you know, that's when that happened. And then George kind of like held the line for a while, and then that's when we came in. That's when we came in and started blowing it up, man, everywhere. And then you had to pick your spot, you know, or your spot picked you, like the improv you couldn't do. Laugh Factory, you couldn't do Comedy Store. You know, same thing with the other ones. I always wanted my name on that Comedy Store wall too. Peter Chen just got it up there. He just posted a little while ago that he got his name up there.
He's been up there, bro. It's been up there. They just reposted it back.
Oh, okay.
Peter, you know who else? Golden is there.
Oh, okay.
The German chick.
Yeah.
Well, I say tonight you dress up like Vato Man, spray a little can of spray paint.
Don't put my name. Why
put your name up there?
Try to tell
him. But yeah, what was the question again? I forgot.
When did Vato Man show up?
Oh, Vato Man showed up as a character because Byron said, you got to do characters, man. You got to do characters. All right. I don't want to do characters. You got to do characters. All right. So I thought of, you know, just getting up there as a cholo superhero. Uh-huh. You know, that was cool. And then like, you know, hey, let's make a cartoon character out of it. Let's just, you know, do some animation out of it.
Ruben had a lot of characters in his life. And when he was like, I had a skit called Reverend Mo' Money, mm-hmm. Mo' Money Mac Daddy. And it was based off of his preacher. And he didn't want to use it. So
I can I get an amen?
Can I get $50 for this watch?
And he wouldn't use it. Like, dude,
remember
okay,
the eulogy?
Like,
huh?
We had a sketch called the
Zenon Potato Bug?
No. Oh, yeah. That was a Kung Fu one, right? We had a kung fu sketch. We joined this improv group, man, and a great improv group.
What's the name
of
the improv group?
The LA.
No, it was.
No, the flip side. The flip side of LA, or the flip side players. Yeah, and all these dudes were talented, man. But me and Byron were the only ones that came in there with the ghetto scripts, right? Yeah.
And they got mad.
Those were the ones that got all the laughs, man.
You got writers in the LA Times.
In the LA Weekly, we were all like, for real? These guys are funny, you know.
Yeah. Improv's always bland as fuck, dude.
They
was cool.
Yeah, they didn't like our skits, but we got all the write-ups. But
it was one time. We got our fake pistols.
Yeah, I did. We had a caller show, KVTO, KVATO, where you would get all the advice from a cholo, right? You know, as to what you should do about your dates and stuff like that. Like that, and some guy calls up, he's part of the cast, he's on, hey, you beaner, you spick, why don't you go back to where you came from? What, eh? I'll shoot you from here, loco. And I pulled out the gun, right? And then Byron's all, calm down, put it away. All right, then. So I gave it to him, and I pulled another one out of my back pants right here. Was that a backup, baby?
One time we were doing improv.
Backup,
he got me. We were doing improv, and I thought everybody in the world seen 12 Monkeys.
Well, I ain't never seen that movie.
He never seen it. I didn't know that. I didn't see it yet. You didn't see it either?
Nah.
It's a Mexican thing. Nobody seen 12 Monkeys. I'm sorry. Okay, thank you.
Brad Pitt, right?
Yeah. Thank you. So, and as part of the skit, I started doing 12 Monkeys. Ruben took a step back and looked at me and said, what the hell is this guy talking about? On stage.
And I forgot every rule of improv. Like, just agree and add. Agree and add. I'm just saying, like,
Ruben's going, nah.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Don't worry, man. I'll look stupid for you anytime, bro.
Thank you.
So you first started off the Laugh Factory Latino night, right?
Latino night,
Who hosted back
Monday
then?
Monday night. Man, who was it? Frazier?
No. Yeah, I think it was Frazier.
No, Boomer, bro.
Cervantes?
Cervantes, yeah. From Power 106.
Yeah, that's right.
You know who told me they were doing a Spanish show? That lady from the comedy act, from Natural Fudge. She told me they were going to do like Spanish comedy.
Back then?
Yeah, but maybe it was Latino night. When I said Spanish, I said, I don't want to speak Spanish.
Yeah, yeah.
So I never went until Johnny Sanchez told me.
Right. I forgot her name.
How's
her name?
He's been a long time. Johnny, how's he doing?
Good. We had him here too.
Oh, really?
He's good. Yeah. Married or divorced now?
Full circle. Huh?
So that whole Laugh Factory thing was pretty much brought up by Boomer. You know, he did all the radio work for it, and he was the MC and stuff like that. And I think he was in charge of the lineup too. So that was a golden opportunity for a lot of us, man.
It was packed up.
Yeah, and it's Jamie. You know, if it wasn't for Jamie, I don't think there'd be a lot of us out there that didn't get that push that we needed, you know, exposure.
They started a little tiny Latino night at the comedy store in the Ballet Room with some old Latino comic.
Yeah.
From the comedy store, I forgot his name, it's Puerto Rican. He's not even around anymore, but that guy.
Wait, he died or what?
No, I just forgot his name.
Frankie
what?
Got a skill?
No.
Is he still around?
He moved back to New York.
Okay.
You know who I ran into? Frank Manzano.
Oh, I remember him. He was there when we did the taping for Mike Robles up in New York for the
Fool, tell him, locals. Dude, when I was I got to talk about this, bro. I was host Mike Robles and Roger Paul. They hit me up, right? I don't know how they hit me up, but by the way, man, me and Gabriel Iglesias, we booked all the Que Locos, if anybody wants to know. We're the one that told Roger Paul the names. We're the one that told to book Dom Herrera. We're the one that told. It was Gabriel and I, bro. We're the one that booked that show.
Everybody
wants to know. And by the way, we're the ones that didn't book it, but we gave Mike Robles an earful of here to put up. And we got Rodrigo on, right?
The later one, Local Comedy Jam.
Man, this is how Mike Robles did. He just flipped a coin and he fucking told Rodrigo to pick heads or tail, bro, to be on the show.
Oh,
and that fool said tails, and Mike Robles didn't say nothing. But he just mentioned the other comedian that's not going to be on.
Okay.
Sorry, whatever your name was.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the first time they did Que Locos was Happy, bro.
Happy Rodriguez.
Happy the Clown.
From Texas.
Did you do that show too? Yeah. We did three shows outside of San Antonio.
It was empty, bro.
Yeah, there was nobody there. Three shows. And it was in this little Tejano-type bar or something like that, you know. Like, was, cool guy.
The place was huge, bro. Yeah. Like, I guess they must get 1,700 people to party, but for comedy, there wasn't even 60.
Mm. I think his name was Happy Rodriguez, I think.
Happy the Clown Rodriguez.
Yep.
So this is the guy with a full clown makeup, bro, hosting a show and then doing, like, and then doing these 1970 Latino clown jokes.
Yeah. We were talking about that out in the green room, me and Eric, about how making the transition from English comedy to Spanish comedy to just straight Spanish comedy, because my wife was saying that it's a different cadence in Spanish or on Mexican TV, and it is a lot of pratfalls and slapstick and
definitely stuff.
Yeah, but I think they'll get it now. I think if we just translate it, you know what I'm saying? Not like they, like they're so much from a different planet or something like that, but everything's a little bit more mixed now. You know what I'm saying?
We had Eric Spears last week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
I heard that.
And out of nowhere, we brought up, remember the top 50 Latino list?
Yeah.
you never seen that, huh?
I don't know. Who's on it?
Oh, my God, dude. The top 10 are the same top 10 people who are working right now.
I thought John Mercedes has something to do with
that. That dude and everybody put in a mix. But the list said by talent scouts all over the country.
Yeah, right.
Searching and asking and inquiring and investigating and doing polls in the Latino community to get these top 50 comedians.
Bro. And in all reality,
oh, 49, by the way.
In all reality, it was a group of like maybe three people, four
the
people.
The people that, Joy Medina was here.
Drinks. Yeah.
Joy Medina said he was here and he was one of the people that just threw names.
Wow. Yeah, now Latino Magazine will always throw it out, but it's so funny because they don't even give us a round number, but like the top seven. And it's like, we couldn't get 10? and then some of them aren't even comedians. They're just actors.
Yeah.
Well, I think maybe if
they put that guy from fucking The Office in there.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, this dude doesn't even do stand-up.
Was I on there?
You should have been. Honorary number 50.
You were on the list, right?
Yeah, you were on the list.
Yeah, our top.
I remember Joe Medina was number 13.
I remember Ernie G was not on the list, bro.
Oh,
and he looked at me and he said, I got to get on the list, bro.
But he was, because it was edited. Because I used to see it, because that's when, you know, in like 2000.
He was number 51.
He was also like fucking number like 42 or something like that. But then they added him and it shifted a little. You can tell they took a couple people off.
And whatever we get down to say about Ernie G, bro?
One time this fool, you gave that fool a line. Man, he was fucking talking like a vieja for 4 hours. That's when we invented Bark at the Moon and
Bark
you know
at
what,
the Moon, bro. That's right. You were with us.
Yeah, he hosted the show.
It was you, me, Martin Moreno, Armando Cosillo. We went on the fucking van to do a show in Santa Maria and Bakersfield with the Malash.
That was for the Malash brothers, right?
Yeah.
Al Productions. Like, wow.
That's the only time I ever worked killed with
you. That was the first time you were like kind of sober because we were smoking weed, right?
Yeah.
I remember that.
And Martin was all loaded,
that
bro.
That place was all crazy.
Yeah, Martin was all loaded.
All these guys, man, and
Santa
one
Maria
thing after
nuts.
I watched that movie Training Day, I'm never gonna party with cholos like that ever. I don't know if I'm gonna end up in the bathtub with a shotgun pointed at me. But these dudes were crazy. Hey, you don't know how to party. You don't know how to drink. Hey, you don't know how to party. Come to my house, hey. After the show, we'll go hang out at my house, hey. It's like 3 a.m. I ain't gonna go with you guys, man. End up in a onion field out here somewhere.
Remember that show we did in El Paso and they had big old Injun Joe who was the manager of the club?
Comic Strip?
Yeah, the comic strip, yeah.
So we went to the other club,
Papa's.
Papa's. Yeah. They have karaoke across the
with
street.
The cigars.
Yeah, and that big old Injun dude who was, you don't remember him?
Well, the assistant manager.
Yeah, him. Okay. I was traumatized.
Did he pick up on you?
Yeah, you know.
Ruben?
No.
Injun Joe. The Indian. Okay, Bart Reed used to have I don't know if he was the kitchen manager or assistant manager or something like that. Big old tall dude, Indio. Look crazy, man. Look Apache or something.
Oh, man.
Crazy.
He said, how you like the club, man? I said, yeah, it's cool. Yeah, it's cool. He said, you really like it? I said, yeah. Well, you know what? There's another club right down the street. Me and you can go to it. I turned into a girl. Ruben wouldn't appreciate it if I left. I don't think it would be right now. Hit on me, man. Let's go.
Damn.
It's good old days. Can you imagine? I'd be pregnant.
We got so many stories, man, that'll end us up in jail right now. You know?
Dude, he was a big dude.
Yeah.
So, when I met you, you were living in Burbank, North Hollywood.
North Hollywood off of Hesby. And we were the first cats to get in there. You were too. To help Jack with his haha. Remember the haha?
That's right.
Yeah.
Fucking Jack. We were the first, bro. Uh-huh. That was just pool tables there.
Yeah.
And karaoke.
And it was a haha cafe, right?
Ha-ha
Even
cafe.
Before it was a haha cafe.
Yeah. Now his son's doing comedy too, right?
Yeah.
But we were there for the beginning, man. The beginning of a lot of things, you know?
It was through a restaurant, not comedy every night.
Right. Yep.
And him and his wife used to run that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good old days.
I love Jack. Cool guy.
You still go there?
No, I haven't been there in a long time.
I got the Jack, not there anymore? Spot. No,
he's got a new spot, a new building.
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole place has changed. You wouldn't even recognize it. Yeah.
Yeah.
The top 50 Latinos.
Yeah.
I know you. When I met you, you were dating. Well, when I started hanging out with you or seeing you more, you had a Chinese girlfriend.
Yeah, I'm not going to mention her name. So.
Dude, you killed me one time, bro. I was like, back then when I knew you, I wasn't even a pothead or a drinker. I was nothing, dog. But you would just tell me a little shit. I'll fucking start laughing, bro. Yeah. Like, I was high. This fool's dating this Chinese girl, bro. Beautiful, bro. Like, Crouching Tiger, beautiful, bro. Like, she could be in the movie. This fool said, what happened, bro? Hey, we went to her house for Christmas, see? And after we opened the present, we fucking watched Chinese movie, Kung Fu movie for 5 hours.
And then they broke out the karaoke machine.
You're lying, dog.
No, I'm
they
serious,
love him because he looks Chinese, bro.
I'm serious, man. I'm serious. Chinese food, Chinese movies, and karaoke, man. I was like, wow. Yeah. Remember she dumped me? Yeah. And then we went up to
Oh, my God. Dude, he got dumped, and we were doing a show with him and I and Luke Torres. He goes, nah, bro, you'll forget about her. And Luke Torres, too, you'll forget about her. We're going to get fucked up. He's walking with a beer. And we walk into right into a Chinese festival.
Yeah. With all the dragons. The dragons were laughing at me, man.
Damn. Yeah, but you have for a long ass time, huh?
Yeah.
Sometimes you bring her brother around.
Yeah. Martin. Oops. What's up, Martin?
That's all right. You haven't given any last names yet.
How'd you meet her, bro?
It's only three last names.
Universal. Oh, you were at Universal Studios too, right?
Yeah. I was there for, what, 5 years?
What's the name, bro?
Who's what were you doing there?
Running the mail center and other things that I can't mention.
Okay. Right now, so, and what was she doing there?
I don't think the statute of limitations is up on that.
You were there for a long time, huh? You
remember accounting?
We had Polaroids back then. But remember the time I took a selfie of my mangina?
Yeah.
And you gave it to the guys in the warehouse?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, bro. Because you're not supposed to be sending pornography through the mail, bro.
I didn't. Yeah. You did.
You were my personal. I took a selfie, a nasty selfie of himself, right? And I worked with a lot of guys.
That's an old school selfie. You still got to dry it. Hold up. Wait till you see this.
It grew as you shook it. As you shook
like
it.
Like Juan.
So, you know, it's Universal Studios. So we got people there of every persuasion, right? So I open up the letter and I look to see what it is. And it's Byron. So I handed it to my coworkers. And they're like, ooh, look at Byron. Ooh, he's so handsome. Look at him.
So
right?
One day I go pick him up. And they go, hi, Byron. That's, oh, yeah, man. I just showed him your dick pictures. Okay.
Now, did you send that to the Indian guy down in El Paso?
No.
I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here if I did.
Yeah, I was an animal. You can ask anybody.
Yeah. Oh, now he's a saint. His wife, when I was talking to his wife, I said,
you're an animal too.
Oh, by the way, my wife is the most gorgeous woman I ever met in my whole life. I love her with all my heart.
Well, deacon in the church. What are you talking about?
So she dumped me. Let's get back to this really quick, you know, because Felipe likes this one too. And she dumped me, and I don't know what it is about a woman, but they like to come back and torture you after they dump you. You know what I'm saying? So she comes back to the apartment kind of like about maybe 2 weeks later and knocks on the door, and I open up the door, right? And there she is, you know. She's all dressed all fine, you know, and everything like that. And the first thing that comes out of her mouth is like, oh, well, how do I look, right? And the first thing that came out of my mouth was like, the slut that left me. And I closed the door, bro. Actually, I didn't use the word slut, but, you know, I'm a reformed man now, so yes. Hey.
You guys had a cat.
Before the reformation.
That came through back.
Yeah, well, my cat was my cat, yes. And then she came along, but I had a cat named Nico. He didn't like it, though.
Huh? Nico was badass cat.
Yeah, Nico, bad. That's right.
Cool, bro. You grab the ball and go out there and do a backflip, bro.
Yeah.
Stop begging.
Yeah. I adopted him from a place out there and... Woodland Hills or something like that. So Nico was first, and then she came along. So, yeah. But Nico's cool, man.
Bro, tell about that one time we were at Willie Barcena's house. Me, you, and Martin, you were all fucked up. And then Willie Barcena brought up that fucking leg stretching machine.
And I cracked my head open like Humpty
No, bro. Tell about the leg stretching machine, dog. We're in the middle of the street, all fucked up, stretching your fucking leg to the minute, to the limit. To see who can open the legs the longest, dog. Think about that.
You know what
grown men.
I don't know Ruben from the past, but I love that every time Felipe brings up a story, there's a look on Ruben's face of panic, like, yeah. Hold on, what? What story are you about to tell?
I'm not going to deny anything.
If his wife was here right now.
But I won't deny it. Yeah.
Oh, I don't do that.
Yeah. So, hey, look. Me and Willie have.
When did you meet him, bro?
A love-hate relationship.
You went way before me.
No, that place right there, TQ's, Tequila's.
TQ's,
yeah. Right there,
Tequila's. Tell me about how crazy Tequila's was.
Tequila's Mongo's. Was right off of Atlantic. Yeah.
Atlantic and Pomona, bro.
Right, exactly.
That's right.
Pomona
exactly.
Road.
So, that's when I saw Chris Tucker. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Willie brought Chris Tucker there.
Yeah.
Yep. It was tough, man. All these rooms were tough. A lot of people think that, oh, I'm just going to get up and I'm going to tell some jokes. Yeah, right.
Nah. You got to fucking tell. You got to mad dog the crowd first.
Yep. Yep, and you got to be tough, man. You can't.
Well, now
just...
they got these safe comedy rooms.
Nah,
it's all they got safe,
these.
Dude.
They got see, these that's a whole rooms. Different topic no altogether. That's a whole different topic.
You don't have character
altogether.
Building.
I'm doing like
clubs
a.
No more?
Hell no.
I'm trying to start a YouTube page, right? Called Penalty Talks, and pretty much I want to talk the crap that I want to talk because I got so much And Felipe knows I have like anger issues. I used to have anger issues. And he knows because like some people get triggered nowadays. If they see like a MAGA hat, they get all triggered. Felipe would just have to say one name, Ernie G, and bam! You know, there I am, you know, for a half hour.
I think that's a lot of Latinos trigger right there.
Sebastian Cetina, bam!
I love you guys.
Love you, Ernie. Love you, Sebastian. Right? Noe Gonzalez.
Oh my God.
Joey Medina.
He's buff now. Noe Gonzalez.
He is
like a little rock.
Yeah.
So, but you know, I never kept my mouth shut, yeah. Especially when I drank. You know.
I know, bro. Like, but let's get back to that stretching machine, though.
Okay. So Willie had this.
Willie was barely getting into UFC.
He was.
Or mixed martial arts or something.
Because I know his kids. His kids are bad, man.
Hey, bro, do good.
Remember going to his house and him waking the kids up? Hey, show us this kick. Right. I'm sleepy. I'm shut up. Do it. Do these kicks.
And do it good.
Yeah. And then he would never let us go into the kitchen when his wife was in the kitchen. Like, we're going to try and pick up on her. No, man. I don't trust you, bro.
But you know they're making quesadillas at 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
What the fuck, dude? Like, you're going to pick up on somebody in front of their fucking house and say.
That's something he would do.
I wouldn't do that to Willie, man.
Oh, Willie. What time he got drunk?
His wife was nice.
He started thinking about his ex-girlfriend. His ex-girlfriend was she was by herself. But she was nice.
Who, Maria?
Was that her name? She was
brown. Short?
Yeah, short hair and.
His first girlfriend.
Yeah.
I never met her. He just talked about her sleeping in her.
Well, he got drunk. Bro, I love her, bro. Let's call her. It's 3 in the morning. Let's call her, bro. Yeah, let's call her, bro.
I hated that phone book of his, man.
What phone book, bro?
He had a phone book. Yeah. He had a phone book of people that he would call when he was drunk, like he was pissed off. Yeah. Call you up at 3 in the morning, cussing you out. 4 in the morning, cussing you out. For stuff you didn't even do, you know?
For all the young listeners, the phone book is now in your iPhone. You scroll. Yeah. My man had to lick his fingers and turn a page.
Oh, man.
The contact list, yes.
I'm glad I didn't have a phone, you know? He still got through to me. He sent letters.
I'm going to send a pigeon.
I hate you letters.
He sent a telegram, man. Right. Bro! Stop!
Instead of drunk island, he's doing drunk smoke signals.
Yeah. Man. So talk about the stretching machine.
Okay, so I don't know. Willie put a bed out there or something like that. You know, I bet I can stretch my legs, you know, more than you can. And it's you're sitting on your rear end, right? And then your legs just go east to west.
Uh-huh.
And Willie was cranking that sucker and cranking that sucker and cranking that sucker. And pretty soon he was crying, man. And then I get in, crank.
With jeans.
All the way east to west, man.
Legs open, bro. Like Van Damme. Like, all fucked up, bro. Like,
damn.
Oh, like you
I even did the pose like Van Damme, bro. The way Van Damme does his pose when he's hanging between two trash cans. I was bad, bro, back in the day.
I was bad, bro.
I was, man.
But he was there, bro.
With my long hair. Dude, nobody messed with me, man. I used to throw people out of the club just for the fun of it, man.
Back in the home savings days in the warehouse, and you want to do that flip like Bruce Lee?
Oh, so, yeah.
He said, Byron, hold my leg. And I said, okay. And I held his leg. I'm going to kick you in the face and flip over.
And he was stupid enough to let me do it.
Did you do it?
He fell around the back.
Byron saw me kicking up, and he didn't let go of my ankle.
Oh, my God.
And I didn't give myself enough trajectory.
Blame it on
so
the
I fell straight like a tabla, bro. Like an ironing board. Just bam. Bro.
So getting back to turning the wheel. After they took turns with that wheel, they put that fucking wheel machine away. And then they put trying to do a somersault, bro, in the cement. And that's when you cracked
your
head.
That's when I cracked my head, huh? Yeah, I had a big old crack right here, dude. I look like Gorbachev,
bro. You were the original, those MTV, that Jackass show. Yeah. You were the original.
Oh, yeah, he was, bro.
You were the OG.
That's Vato Stevo.
Vato Loco.
El Stevo.
Don't have a drink in his hand. Oh, man.
You used to drink a lot, dog? Like a lot? Blackout drunk or what?
You did coke, too, right?
But I blacked out, yeah.
But I didn't know that you did that till later on, but.
Who ratted me out?
That's not you.
Yeah, yeesh. Well, it was around. Everybody had
you're
it.
Crazy, bro. You went to El Paso. You convinced the waitress to leave
right
El Paso to move to L.A.
Right?
You're a salesman.
There's that look again on his face. Yeah. There's that look on Ruth's face. Cool.
Oh, he got some answers.
I'm remembering that you had a way with the ladies, right? Because you like didn't Joey Medina had a lady, and then this fool said, or vice versa, right? The only fat on you is so and so.
The whole Joey thing. Oh, yeah, Joey's crazy. Yeah. Remember I got his teeth fixed, bro?
You did it. Shut up.
Marilyn Martinez, she used to work in a dental office. And I had insurance, and Joey needed his teeth fixed, right? Uh-oh. And I love you, Joey. You know I love you, man.
Here we go.
So I let, I'm not going to say anything bad. Byron's all, hey, you remember the last time you said something? Right?
The conga room.
Yeah. I was drunk at the conga room. Where wasn't I drunk at, right? Anyway. So I told Marilyn, hey, why don't you just, you know, get Joey's teeth fixed up with my insurance and stuff like that.
Nice,
and, yeah, so he got his teeth fixed and stuff like that. I don't know. It was like about 3 weeks later. Hey, but let me throw this disclaimer out there. Everybody back then was a dog, right?
Not hanging out with the angels.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's nightclub, right? It's comedy, right? It's what it is, you know? So, you know, you leave your woman unattended for 5 minutes, she's fair game, right?
Well, okay, with that note,
yeah.
My daughter's born because of Ruben. My daughter's born because of Ruben. So we did a club in San Diego.
No,
okay. I'm sorry. Okay,
we were doing a club. I'm thinking it was a fair game part here.
So woo! We did a.
Who's out here crying?
Hey, but look, if you have a woman that can hold her own, she'll say no.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. If that's your lady, dog.
Yeah. Okay, we did a show in San Diego in Gaslamp. All right, after that we went to the club.
Fourth and B.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
After the show, we did. We went to the club. So there was one girl I saw, like, oh, yeah, I want that one. But she was tough. She was hard. Okay, well, I'm going to crack this code. So I was sending her a couple drinks. She got comfortable. She smiled. Oh, yeah, she's on. So I go to the bathroom, wash my hand. I come back. He grinding on her.
Joy with dinner, right?
No.
Oh, Ruben.
Ruben Quintana grinding on her. Like, what the fuck? You owe me some drinks, homeboy.
Wait, was it Ruben or was it Vato Man?
So anyway.
who married her?
After that, I met my baby's mom because I was like, fuck it, well, you owe me some drinks. And what am I going to do now? So I seen this girl by herself, and I went over to talk to her. And my daughter's history after that. But
so it was a good thing he was grinding on the other girl.
you want to take over payments? What you talking about? It's a good thing.
You're not married to the other girl no more?
Nah.
Oh.
What he meant by grinding was that we were slow dancing. That's what he was saying.
Oh, that's how Latinos slow dance?
It was more like, I don't see nothing wrong with some bump and grind.
Yeah. So they wake up in the morning.
So back to Joey. Hey, fair game.
So
Wild
West. Fair game. So long story short, I pay for his teeth to get fixed. I leave the Chinese girl. I leave her alone for just a few minutes because I'm up on stage, right?
Right.
All
right.
So she's in the green room and stuff like that. And I come back and Joy's all up in her face, you know, trying to get with her and kiss her and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, man, ain't this about it, you know? Here I am fixing this dude's teeth, and now he's just trying to kiss her with the same teeth that I fixed.
Bro, you get too much confidence, bro.
Who, me?
You get Joey Medina too much confidence. Good teeth.
You
got to
fix those teeth.
Yeah,
the smile.
Yeah, the smile.
So anyway.
Hey, but she was cute. I tried to talk to her.
What? I bet.
Huh?
Yeah.
Who said it? Ruben, what did Joey say, though? To her.
The only fat on you is Ruben Quintana.
Right. Oh. Yeah. That was his pickup line. He says, the only fat on you is Ruben Quintana.
See, man, and was back nowadays you try to do that, the comedian will just put it up on I'm going to say names there, but they'll post it up on Facebook and shit.
They'll probably try to sue you, dog.
Oh, yeah.
But back then, we used to just make a joke about it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying,
you got a lawyer calling you.
Yeah.
Ruben.
Huh? Oh, a lawyer calling you? Why?
Joey Medina.
Oh, okay. But Joey knows I love him. Alex knows I love him. Raimundo.
Yeah.
Remember what's his name, dude? The big, tall Texas dude. He was in Vietnam. Raul Martinez. He was funny.
Yeah.
And Dante, remember Dante?
Garza. Dante Garza, he passed away.
Did he really?
Yeah, he passed away.
When did he die?
I don't know. He died maybe like 5 years ago. Rick Dunlop died too.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like Marilyn passed and Freddie and all them dudes, man.
You're like a party animal. When did you become a party animal?
When? After my first beer.
Yeah.
When I couldn't control it. Yeah. Alcoholism runs in my family, that's for sure. But
dude,
you
were crazy, dog.
I had my first beer.
I remember one time, Gabriel Iglesias told me that you guys were, one time, they were at a drive-thru and shit. You were some crazy-ass chick. They were ordering food. And then Gabriel was back, was in the back, in the front seat or the back seat?
Gabriel's in the front seat.
She had a long ass arm, bro.
Because of Gabriel?
No, he said you got to go and add it while they were ordering food.
Yeah.
As a drive through, you maniac. Yeah. You must have been, you're a big dude. You just knew how to move your big body around now.
The will, there's a way, huh?
Yeah.
He goes, get rid of order your food. Yeah, I'll let you have two Big Macs. What do you guys want? Fucking not right here. Turns around, there's an ass right here. No, he's town. Good. He don't have ass.
What are you guys going to want after this?
Man, he's in so much trouble when he get home, bro. It's like he'll be waiting with a pan.
No, this is more like this is your life.
Ah, she didn't know that, though.
It's like inside the actor's studio.
My wife knew that
I think
she knew I wasn't a saint. She just never
did. Rihanna was crazy, man, but you slowed down, right? Now?
Well, yeah, I got married.
You're a pastor now?
No. Not yet. Maybe. We'll see.
Getting back to Que Loco, him, it was myself, me, Ruben Quintana, and Frank, Frank Manzano, and that Cuban comedian. What's his name? With blonde hair. Older comedian. You hang around with him, bro.
Oh, Franchi San Pedro.
Franchi San Pedro.
Yeah, Franchi.
So, we're getting back to booking Que Locos, right? I told Roger Paul, well, how about, you know, I booked these three comedians. And he goes, we'll share the same hotel room. He goes, these three comedians will do the show. Fly back to LA. We'll keep the room. They'll clean it, and then Franchi, Ruben Quintana, and myself will come up. We share the same room.
Yeah.
So when we checked in, they were leaving, and the room was getting clean. So I set that up, bro, and then I got everybody. That's how I worked the deal to get everybody that I wanted on the show.
Ah.
But it was funny, man. Ruben Quintana had this potpourri bag, bro. Remember? We were in New York. No. Yeah. No, Franchi San Pedro. Was that your first time in New York?
First time. Best time.
Yeah.
Rockefeller Center. And it was wintertime, too. Yeah. Everything That's was right. like yeah. snow.
No,
and
I just left there. And I told him to bring a jacket. Yeah. No, bro.
It was fun. Yeah. It was fun.
It was a good
To be a
show
young
too.
Comic.
Yeah.
Angel Salazar, I met him. He was talking. And I remember he stopped eating with us. With Joey Coco Diaz was there too.
At the Chinese place afterwards?
Yeah. Then remember the Chinese restaurant?
Yeah.
I have photos of that, place.
So of us?
You and I, we hung out with a comic in New York that one time. And then whatever, I have photo of us with Frankie.
Well, send me,
I have photos at home. I look for them. And I remember that, I forgot what I was going to say, but I remember a lot of stuff.
Okay. Hey, didn't you have a picture with, I think it was you, Felipe.
On the airplane?
On the airplane with a terrorist.
Hell yeah! Dude!
Yeah. 4/9/11, right?
We did a show the day after Thanksgiving on a Friday in fucking MIT. Mm-hmm. Ruben Quintana booked the show. It was Luke Torres, myself, and him. And on the way back home, we're flying from Boston to Los Angeles. Same flight that the hijackers took, right?
The same one. I think it might have been the same plane, too.
The same flight. But there were only like 12 people on the plane. And we took a photo, and Ruben Quintana has a fucking white pillow over his face, covering up his face, and me and him are dressed like Arab terrorists.
Yeah, so you know the little blue pillow.
I have that photo too.
To sleep with, right? So they put that over my head, and you can see me. You can see my face and everything like that through the pillow. And then mine was the white sheet. And then these guys took the blue ones and wrapped it around their head like a burqa. That's what it's called, right? Or hijab or whatever it is. Yeah. And they were both like choking me at the same time or holding me. Oh, that's crazy.
And the stewardess took the picture.
Yeah.
How long was it after that they did that whole 9/11 thing? Man,
I thought you guys were about to be like, it was September 10th.
Sooner than that.
It was within within 6 months that happened.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Still didn't get paid for that show.
Yeah, man. It was crazy.
Still didn't get paid.
This fool, I didn't even know he had kids, bro.
Yeah.
We went to the fucking, we went for a check, and child support took all the whole check. We didn't get paid.
In Riverside. Well, Riverside reached out to Boston, and they tried to help me.
How the fuck did they know you had a good-ass sweet gig in MIT?
I don't know. I have no idea.
It's not like there was social media back then.
What's the name of that before Facebook?
MySpace? You put it up on MySpace?
I think it was MySpace. Friendster? I don't know.
MySpace.
So we get out there, and then they tried to give me the check the night before, but I knew we were going to be drinking, and I was going to lose it. I'm like, I'll just pick it up in the morning. So now in order for me to get it, the last thing I heard, which was a long time ago, was like, okay, well, you need to have the other two comedians sign off that it's okay for you to get it so that they can, you know. But getting a hold of these guys was just impossible. So, oh, well.
You bought the paper?
Chalk it up to experience.
You bought that paper? Yeah. Dude, This dude, I wasn't even a party animal then, but him and Luke Torres had the fucking time of their lives, bro.
Yeah, and Harvard.
They were in Harvard, bro. Over there by Cambridge, bro. I mean, these floors, the bricks are like 200, over 300 years old. They fucking took a brick out of the fucking wall, bro, where Paul Revere ran.
In Harvard Square. Yeah.
Harvard Square. He fucking ripped. He was trying to catch a cab holding a brick.
Wow, you opened up a cold case, man.
Yeah. They're still looking for that brick, right, too. Because this guy's walking us through, the host, the guy who was our chaperone.
That's
right?
Irrelevant.
All, in these halls.
That's irrelevant.
Einstein walked through these halls. And me and Luke Torres look at each other like, oh, yeah? And then we started jousting with the mops. We didn't care.
And then you guys fucking, you guys didn't know how high that were jumping. You fell two stories.
Yeah, into some bushes. We jumped over this
from
ledge.
From Harvard?
Because there's some bushes on the bottom. Hey, let's just jump over the ledge into the bushes like they do in the movies. Bam, dude.
Straight out of Masters in Desmadre.
Yeah. So we were in Harvard Square, and we needed to get a cab all the way back because the subway only ran one way in, and they stopped after a certain time. So it was Luke that took the brick out of the thing.
Oh, Luke.
Yeah, and we're waving down a cab, and they would stop, and then they'd take off speeding. And then another cab would come, and they'd look at us, and then they speed. And then by the third time, I looked over, and I see that Luke had a big old brick in his hand. Well, who's going to stop? Uh-huh. Who's going to stop where somebody's waving you down, and they got a big old brick in their hand?
So do you have the brick, or does he have the brick?
I lost it. Yeah.
I lost it. It was a stepping stone.
Yeah.
You didn't hang it up on your wall? Be like, I went to Harvard.
Nah, I had it on.
Let's get a degree. Yeah. Now I got the brick.
I had it at the apartment, but I lost it. So Luke's funny, though, man. Yeah. He's doing rock and roll now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That whole family's talented, man. Him and his brother, Pete.
I never met Pete.
Yeah. He had a rock band called the Bohem Monkeys. Right. Yeah. It's a cool name. Kind of like a punk rock.
One time we did a show, it was a Vato wedding, and I opened up for him. Mm-hmm. Now that was interesting. And then people were in the back. It was a wedding.
Uh-huh. And then
after. They got to get ready to eat. I went up. I don't know if I did good. Was that in L.A.? Remember that?
Where at?
I think it was East L.A.
It was a wedding in East L.A.?
Yeah. And then after that, you didn't want to ride back with me. You wanted to go. I don't know where you went. But you did it. He killed. I was scared. I didn't know what was going on. No, I wasn't ready for that.
I don't know where it was. Do you a steakhouse?
No, it was at
a house
or a hall? Garage or something like that, dude.
Probably. When you're out here, you'll gig anywhere.
No, it was me
man.
And you. It was just me and you.
Hell yeah.
I was opening that.
When you're out here, you'll gig anywhere just to get the stage. Yeah. Just get some money.
One of those weirdest gigs you did, bro, where you said, whoa, okay, we're getting paid to do this shit?
Shoot.
Mycelia.
Well, we got taken up to Sacramento that one weekend, and there was nobody in the audience. Remember? It was me, you, Luke, at this big old auditorium.
And the Tower Theater.
Yeah, yeah. And there was like nobody in the audience, and they still wanted
Carlos
to
Lasso went home.
To our routine. Yep.
We had Carlos Lasso here too.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And
Who was booking the empty shows?
I don't know. I could throw out a name, but I don't want to get hang the wrong bad show on somebody. And we did this one show.
Wild West. You know what was crazy?
El Centro. You ever do the shows out there?
Oh, Central, yeah, with Papi Chulo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we were at the top Chulo. Of a flatbed truck, man. And
we
were there.
Yeah.
It was me, you, and Patrick DeGear.
Right. Oh,
and they were serving tacos all over the place.
I love Patrick DeGear, but I don't like going and gigging with them and stuff.
You're going to be an eye doctor,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, because I got to, I love you, Patrick, but, dude, I don't know how many times I wasted having fun just making sure you got to where you needed to go, bro.
That was the blind comic, right?
The black. Yeah. You know Patrick DeGear?
No, yeah. I don't know.
That fool of Compass.
It was funny.
That fool, knew that he was not going to book you when he said, let me pencil you in.
And he was blind?
Is that what that means?
Yeah. I know
Let me write this in my book.
I know something.
You're blind, dog.
Dude, I went to Miami with him and stuff like that. I didn't even get a chance to go see like the beach or nothing like that because I had to make sure Patrick was getting to where he needed to go,
Were you in Miami?
That's the local comedy jam for Mike Robles.
Oh, the tour or the taping?
The taping when he's doing the thing.
Oh, I didn't go to that one. That must have been the only one I didn't do.
Yeah. And,
how many K locals you do at this? I did 12, nine.
12.
12?
Not all of them aired, but yeah.
So you did like
Latino? No.
So you did K locals and comedy jams?
I did the 12 altogether. That's including Comic View. And then the NBC thing, and then like the Funniest Funny and the Latino Laugh Festival. So out of the Que Locos / local comedy jam, it was probably close to like
Jeff Valdez,
seven. Yeah, Jeff Valdez and Happy and then Mike
Robles.
I don't think Mike likes me though. He's always giving me a hard time, man. I don't know what it is. He just didn't like me. You ever get that?
Nah.
I mean, like, you didn't, but you ever get that he just didn't like me?
In the beginning.
Yeah.
But they had to earn my spot.
Remember, they drove by the house, the apartment?
Your apartment?
Yeah.
Who did?
It was Mike and Gabriel outside, and I was in the apartment, and Jeff was inside the apartment with me, and Edwin San Juan, and they had called me up from the outside, right? Hey, we're outside the house. And that's when Jeff wasn't getting along with Gabriel, and Jeff wasn't getting along with Mike.
And he didn't want to come out?
Jeff came out. Jeff came out, and Edwin came out. And Edwin's always been like the peacekeeper, right? So then I go out there, and Gabriel and Jeff are ready to just, you know, throw down. And
they're going
to
fight?
Yeah, right there in the street. Yeah, right there.
In the street. The devil and the Gabriel.
In Studio City. It was like
at night or daytime?
Day locals drive.
Those fools drove by looking for a rumble?
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up. Mike is 40 back then.
Yeah. So I was right there off of, when I stayed in the Studio City off of Ventura Boulevard.
That's the one thing you can jump on. You came out of your car, house all fucked up, and say, I'll fuck both of you guys.
Yeah. All of them. I said that to Mike. I said that to Jeff. I said that to Gabriel. Edwin was off to the side, so he didn't get any of the wrath, you know. I was going to mess everybody up.
Started doing split kicks and somersaults.
If anybody came out of the car and moved the wrong way, I was thumping, man. I was. If anybody came out of the car, dog shit right there, huh?
But I love you. A couple minutes ago, you were just asking, like, did Mike not like me? He pulled up your house to fight you.
What? No, not me. He pulled up because Gabriel had beef with Jeff back then. I don't know if they still do. So they just wanted to see what was going to happen, right? But I was, hey, this ain't going to happen, right? I got mad, you know. If anybody jumped, if anybody looked out the window, if anybody came out of the street, they were going to get it, man.
What was the devil doing in your house? Just chilling, drinking?
Which one? I had so many devils in my house.
Oh, Jeff?
Yeah, he was just hanging out, dude. Yeah, him and Edwin just hanging out and chilling. And
smoking probably, huh?
Probably, yeah. Oh, yeah, of course.
Jeff used to smoke weed back then. Then he stopped.
Yeah?
And now I'm drinking now. But Mike Robles and fucking Gabriel showed up with someone else, probably, right?
No, it was just
remember
them
you
two.
Told me this, but cat's crazy, huh?
Yeah.
They said, come out?
Come outside, yeah. And I was trying to hold Jeff back, but Jeff wasn't having any of it, you know?
Jeff was little back then, too,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Was he working out now or what? Or has he just got heavier?
Now you go heavier than now.
Okay, well, we all got heavy, yeah. So yeah.
But you look a stick.
It was crazy, dude.
So what the Jeff doing? What the fuck, doc? Oh, my God. give me a bro. Give me the play-by-play, bro.
What the fuck? You got a problem? What, dog?
We used to take Jeff to his gigs when he first started, remember?
Yeah.
In the home savings van?
Yep. Yeah.
We used to be mail couriers and stuff and shipping department.
Over at Montclair, right.
And they gave us, we had access to all the fleet trucks and the gas cards and everything. And we'd go to our gigs, dude. We'd go to the comedy theater.
After the show, the stop off table, at you're the signing them up.
That's on Melrose. Melrose and La Brea? Melrose and La Brea. I think there's a shell right there.
Yeah.
I think. And we used to just get all kinds of sandwiches, you know, the little sandwiches they would sell at the store, you know, with
the credit card.
Just ran it up as gas. Yeah. So, yeah, we'd feed ourselves and we'd take Jeff everywhere, man.
Yeah.
Riverside, you know, L.A. They'd only let him in to do the show because, you know, he can't be inside the bar.
He was like 21.
Right, yeah. Right.
And then in Riverside, what were you guys doing? Carlos O'Brien's back then?
No, what's the name of Monopolies or the one up? Off of
this fool said Monopoly.
Yeah, you remember that?
It was before my time, but I always heard it on the radio.
Yeah.
Monopoly was a comedy club?
Yeah.
It was a dance club. But then I guess
dance
had nights.
But it was a long time ago.
Long time ago. Yeah. Shoot, we started back in 94. Byron started me up in 89. Then I got married. So I dropped out like from 90 to 92, somewhere on 92.
This is one, I'm sorry. Picked it up again. When you found out, you broke up with this one when you opened up that fucking Valentine's Day card, huh?
Which one was that one?
You opened up. You said you were reading a Valentine's card, and
it was written to the wrong person. Yeah.
Oh, it was you.
That was me. Yeah.
Tell us, bro. How did that go down?
Well, you know, love just ended that day. You know.
Well, you know,
before you opened it, you didn't see the name on the envelope.
It just said babe or something like that on the outside of it, and I opened it up, and then you know, and I handed it right back to her.
Gotcha.
I'm sorry. I gave you the wrong one. What you think?
At what line did you realize it wasn't you? Was she like going into detail? Do you remember that magical night?
Until the end, until she said the last name. The last name, the Valazo, the one that killed me, bro, was the word Zeke. I love you, Zeke. I'm like, oh my God.
Fuck Zeke.
Yeah. I never hated Guatemala as much as I did. As much as I did when that chick did that to me, dude. I hated Guatemala. I wanted us to invade them. I wanted the jungles to burn down.
Fucking John Bolton over here.
He was calling the Mexican embassy. We need to invade. Why? Just Zeke. That's why.
He go, I even hear that movie Choppy because it's not like Choppy.
Anything that started with gua, I hate it. Guacamole. What are you doing?
Hey, Ruben, you want some guava? Nah. Screw guava.
That's a funny ass bitch.
Guacala. We just booked you to go to Guantanamo Bay. No. Yeah. Screw them.
And then her perfume. I still can't stand that perfume, man. Sunflowers, man. Wow. I just,
hate it. What?
Wow, Ruben.
Sunflowers.
How would it lift that
more like daggers.
You're a changed man.
More like daggers. It should be more like.
Who says sunflowers? I hate it.
Who is this?
The chick daggers. From the chick from Universal. The little tiny one.
I kind of remember her.
Stephanie.
Give us a last name.
Yeah.
I guess that's what they do in Guatemala.
They're raising the cheat.
When you were working there,
you never heard of that joke? Why isn't there any poker in the jungle? Because Guatemala is all jungle, right? Why don't they play poker in the jungle?
Why?
Too many cheetahs.
Wow.
That's old.
I've always heard that from like old Mexican dudes about Guatemala and San Bernardino, but I never got like, what the fuck are you guys talking about?
Yeah.
So you have a podcast now?
No podcast, YouTube channel. YouTube Penalty channel. Talks.
Penalty Talks, you have a partner?
Yeah, Imad Ali, Palestinian. He's a Muslim comedian. I'm a Christian comedian. I don't know how we're making it work, but we do.
Oof.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And how many episodes do you have now?
Two.
You're doing, where do you do them at? Are they live?
Yeah, I just do them at the house, man. I don't have like a big old, you know, fancy studio like you guys do. Not yet, man. It's cool. You got everything here.
I know.
But I just do it at the house, you know, kind of just like, you know, with the Note 9 phone, just tape myself.
Nice.
And got to get it out there, man. Got to get the first few out there.
What's the name of it again?
Penalty Talks. So you can
Penalty
see it
Talks.
At Instagram and YouTube, Penalty Talks. Yeah. And then if you go to my Instagram page, RQ Comedian, then you'll be able to see the links to the shows and stuff like that on YouTube. So, you know, share it, man. When you guys get a chance to listen to it and stuff like that, like it, hate it, put any comment.
What kind of stuff do you talk about? What do you?
You know, it's like this. I have an opinion, obviously, about things. And then Byron knows that, and Felipe knows that it's trigger words, man.
Did you kill me one time, bro? Hell yeah. Hey, I'm sorry to cut you off.
That's cool.
This fool can debate, dog.
Uh-huh.
I seen him debate with this other comedian named Tony Sanchez, who's a Republican.
Uh-huh.
And this fool straight up got in his face. Hey, bro, I don't give a fuck, bro. Have you ever picked a shovel up?
No.
Oh,
so that being said,
he's a photographer now.
Would you ever run for office?
Who, me?
Yeah, we need somebody to dismantle what's going on right there.
Could debate, dog.
Me run for office?
Yeah.
Compared to the stuff that was coming out today, right now, on this podcast, would you run for office?
Have you seen what's coming out about our president?
You're good.
At least you're telling the truth.
I'm made now, huh?
At least you're telling the truth, dude.
Yeah, wow. I had a pass, you know, and like I was saying earlier, you know, hey, my wife knows that we're crazy. She knows that we're all crazy and stuff like that. She doesn't know the details, and you know, that's, you know,
do
spare,
yeah.
spare her about the
some,
harm.
She don't know about sunflowers.
She buys that perfume one day, huh? She gets that thing out of the
I hope she buys it just to piss you off. Right. Whenever she mad at you, just sprays a little.
She goes, we're going to Tijuana.
Would I run for office? You know what? I wouldn't say no, and I wouldn't say yes.
Run for myself, bro.
I just know that.
You and Leonard Velasquez.
But I have another trigger word.
It's a trigger
word,
bro.
Don't be bringing up the pericos, homie.
I come without me come.
Yep.
I could be your running partner.
I just, what do I say? I mean, what do I say without talking trash? Or just say the truth?
Yeah.
Okay, Visalia. I love Visalia, right? It's a great place to raise your kids, get some fresh air. No traffic, right? The only sucky part about it is everything closes down at 8, so there's no food afterwards, and I like to eat, and we all know that. And then what else? There's no comedy scene. There's only one comedy scene.
The town is growing, bro.
Well, yeah.
I see hipsters coming in now.
There's still no comedy scene, though. And there's only one dude that's got a lockdown on the comedy scene out there. And if you're a young comic in Fresno, in Madera, in Visalia, in Tulare, anything between San Francisco and Los Angeles, then you're screwed because there's no way for you to come up. You know, there's no open mics out there. There's no place to practice your craft and stuff like that. And all these dudes that are out there in the Central Valley, they're killing to come out here, man. They'll do whatever they can to just come out here and get, you know, 5 minutes at the Laugh Factory or something like that. We were spoiled. We could go to a Laugh Factory comedy store, improv, all these little bars out here and stuff like that, yeah. like Cilantro's, Daily Planet, whatever. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Daily Planet, Tortillas, yeah. right?
Waldo's Comedy Planet.
Right, oh, right. Damn. And remember, what was the name of that dude from the Daily Planet? Ron. Remember Ron?
Ron.
Yeah, whatever happened to him?
I don't know. Probably OD'd.
You think?
OD'd. I don't know.
But there's nothing out there for comedians, and there's this one dude, a promoter out there, and, you know, I don't know. I've got to give it to him, right, because he's still alive. Perico. He's still in business and stuff. Yeah, Perico Productions. But if you try and open up your own spot out there, you can't do it. He's got everything locked down. Like the Fox Theater, he's got well, this is what I heard. I don't know. I haven't seen the contract, but this is what I heard. So, like, if you he has a contract with the Fox Theater that if you bring an act in 30 days before my show, 30 days after, then, you know, we're not going to have a contract together. So then that locks that in so where nobody else can come down, unless you're somebody big like, you know, Carlos Mencia or something like that, or Lopez. But it's tough, man. It's tough out there just to get the stage time. So if you're going to start comedy, you know, I suggest that you leave the Central Valley. You know, leave and get out into the cities where you can actually get some work done.
Porterville.
Porterville sucks too. Yeah. The Lindsay. City's nice, but there's nothing out there, bro. You've been out there.
Porterville, they have that one bar, right?
Not no more. Charlie's?
Charlie's closed.
They closed it down.
Damn.
This place had comedy, stand-up comedy, Eric, right here. And then that place would turn into a hip-hop comedy, hip-hop party.
Yeah.
Right after with all the locals. But then you go take a piss, and there's another room, bro. It's a country western bar.
Yeah.
Two rooms, country western and hip-hop.
In the same place.
They just meet everybody in the middle. You just cannot cross either way. You got to pay.
Wasn't Monopoly's like that out there in Riverside? One side was hip-hop and the other side was country. Yeah. Back in the days of the
Club Metro.
Of the Cabbage Patch. Metro, that was the one too.
Byron, you have a fucking cooking show now, right? Chopping it up with the Boykin brothers.
Boykin.
Watch on YouTube.com. Boykin Brothers.
Let me read it?
Yeah.
Okay. He went to public school.
He forgot his glasses. Oh, those look delicious.
Pumpkin cheesecake.
Yeah, man. You're going to like that.
So you have a cooking. I'm sorry. When did you start cooking, man?
Well, it's a long story. Play the music. And after my baby's mama got pregnant, thanks to Ruben. And I had a little meltdown. So I retired from comedy, and then I went into cooking.
Bro, I remember one time, man, you told me in Gabriel Iglesias, like sometimes you just say some prolific shit to us.
Thank you.
Like you told us one time, man, what was your day like? Hey, man, sometimes, man, the day fucks you up. You got to just get on your hands and knees and cry. And I was like, fuck.
And you were not?
And then I thought about it, bro. And I guess it's true. I've done that now.
Well, yeah.
I've done that many times after that.
Yeah. Because I had, you know, sometimes you just hold it aside, It'd be like 6 months.
But you were serious, bro. Yeah. Like, you were going through some shit.
This dude never lets anything get to him, man. So ever since I known him, everything would piss me off.
Maloha.
Everything would trigger me. He's like Vulcan, bro. He's got no feelings, man.
Yeah, well,
he's
saw you grinding up on his girl, and he went found another one. He's, boom.
That's just Byron, though.
That's a friendship.
And I wish people would learn that. I wish people would learn how to be black. Because black people don't let stuff get to them, and they don't care. They don't care about the bills.
They don't show up with another comedian, bro, to another comedian's house trying to get a comedian out of the house.
Right, right. So it's just kind of like, you know, he's got that talent about him. He's just like no emotion, you know.
I think you just found your vice president right there. You showing up with a shovel?
Mr. Triggered and no emotion. Yeah.
You're showing up with a shovel. He's showing up with cheesecakes.
Right.
We love you, Tony Sanchez.
Hey, dude, so why'd you have a meltdown, Byron? Like,
I didn't want kids. I love my baby to death, but at the time I didn't want kids. Matter of fact, I ain't gonna say that because I'd be listening. But I didn't want kids, and
well, at least not at that time.
At that time,
yeah.
At that time, I didn't want kids. Yeah. You know. And when I had the kid, I didn't know what to do. Go this way, that way.
Should have asked me already. By that time, I had two. So
Well, I had to go to Riverside.
Felipe had this joke about me. Hold on. Felipe says, "Hey, boo." You know how they get they have that commercial where you got to give 50 cents to these kids that don't eat and stuff? Yeah. All right, do they ever send you back pictures of your own kids? Because we had an estranged relationship, my ex-wife and I, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And the kids.
It happens.
Did they jump you one time?
Who?
Her family?
Her family? Jump you? Nah.
Oh.
No, she did.
Yeah, she did.
Oh, she used to box.
They used to do kung fu.
She used to box. I defended myself.
You know what it is?
I defend. See, there's a way.
You were the fighting couple everybody sees in public.
Yeah. Oh my God. But see, there's a way that you can defend yourself by deflecting and not like hitting. I would deflect. I was like Matrix deflecting, right? Man, she was trying to land some bombs on me, bro. Just like, you know, scratching the eyes.
She was a thick girl.
What did you do?
Yeah. Huh? What did I do? I was handsome. I was funny. Yeah.
And the long hair.
Get
the
long hair.
Going out every night.
That's it, bro.
He was just.
That's all it took, man.
Long hair.
Have handsome long hair and funny.
And always happy.
With the hardcore Latina.
Yeah.
It's over, baby.
Fuck,
so used to sock
I had to deliver the subpoena, so he tricked me. He said, "Hey, man, I got to take a ride." Okay. Can you drive me? I said, "Yeah, okay."
All the way from
2 hours later, we're in Riverside. Hey, why are you here? Can you take this and give it to my ex? Okay, what is it? Divorce papers. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to stay
and
right here.
I'm going to have the engine on.
And custody.
I'm going to stay here at McDonald's. You go there. And then
you got served. So I was getting served at McDonald's, and she was getting served over there.
So I went in there and I said, "Hey, I was in the middle of this. Like, oh, you know what? We cool, but Ruben told me to give you this. What is it?" She starts crying and shit. And then she starts hugging me.
And then the black came out and by her.
The music came out. Pow, pow. Ruben just got to wait for a couple hours. I'll be.
now one of Ruben's kids is a little darker than the other, so we ain't gonna.
You can't give me for back pay.
But you know. I would have a habit of picking crazy chicks, crazy girls. The girl that came up from El Paso.
How you convince her to move to El Paso?
It was her mom, dude. Her mom says
she's a waitress, right?
Yeah, her mom says, you know, she's
Massa Jane.
She just died, dude.
No way.
Yeah.
She died. The girl or the mom?
Yeah, the girl.
The girl. She died, what, last year sometime or something? Uh-huh. Like that? About a year and a half ago? For being too drunk, and then I guess what Byron was saying is that she just choked to death or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
Because she was too, you know, like too drunk, and then you're bent a certain way.
Bon Scott and Jimmy Hendrix.
And it's funny, I was just,
she was living out here or in L.A.?
El Paso.
She went back to El Paso?
Yeah.
When me and her contact each other, it was cool. Anyway.
She worked at the UCLA, right?
Yeah.
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 We connected through Facebook, and we were talking, and then a week later, she was dead.
Yeah. What the? So her mom said, take care of her. She's doing too much coke. She's drinking too much. She's partying too much. You know, can you do something? So I brought her out to L.A. with me. And she stopped the coke after a while, but she's got into just a pot. And that's it, pot and drinking. And, and then we just went our separate ways.
Yeah. So wait, she thought you were the intervention program?
Bro. Yeah.
Take my daughter.
I took a lot of crap. We were at this one bar called Gold.
Where do I put mine, dog?
Goldfingers. It was a little cool little bar right there in Hollywood, man. Uh-huh. Off of Highland or something like that. I think it's Highland or Franklin. And there's no room to move, man. Everybody's dressed mod, like 60s style. It was so cool. The music was bad, like jazz. Yeah, it was cool, man. And Joey Medina's back up against the wall like this, and his hands up against the wall with his back against the wall. And I'm thinking, you know, what's going on with him, man? Is he just making room? Nah, she's all like grabbing him and everything. Yeah. And Joey's looking at me like, hey, bro, what do I do? And I'm just like, man.
He's
like,
twice.
Yeah, he's like, it's not me, bro.
Yeah.
I was all like, hey, I didn't say you were fat because I'm fat now, too.
It was like a vice grip, dog.
So, you know, I had to deal with that all the time. Yeah. Everywhere I went, she was just grabbing on dudes and just like, you know, I'm thinking, if it wasn't for her mom, this chick would have been kicked out a long time ago.
But when she was sober, she was cool. You know, she was Mrs. Brady. But when she got that alcohol in her,
she was bad. Yeah, so finally I kicked her out.
Rodrigo and I, we went to buy weed one time at a regular drug dealer
in
spot.
In Hollywood.
And she was there, bro, hitting the bong. And I said, you buy weed here now?
Yeah.
And she goes, nah, this is my boyfriend.
Yeah. Was he Arab?
No, white.
White dude.
White dude. Really?
Gave Felipe a big hug.
So we gave her a big hug, and then that dude got self-conscious.
See what he said, bro. The other dude was from Boston, the friend. He was speaking up for the other friend that was all quiet and little, and
he was shy, bro. That dude was shy.
And then he's all, so where do you meet Felipe? Oh, at this place called Tortillas. You been to Tortillas?
Anyway,
is that mobster or what?
Long story short, right?
Yeah, long story short.
We went back like a month later. Those fools were all sad. What happened, bro? She took everything.
She robbed the weed.
I knew it, man.
Took pounds, bro.
I knew it, dude.
You know, it was one of those situations where I could have told the dude to watch out. I could have told him everything.
Yeah.
But the way they acted with me, I feel, you know what? You're not going to believe me if I tell you.
Right. Yeah, yeah, and that fool was all.
I would have looked like a hater. How would you feel, Eric?
If you would have told me, I wouldn't have believed you. I'd be like,
he's a fucking stupid fat liar.
Because the guy that she was with, he was all like in love and in that, like, you know what I mean?
You can't tell nobody
so
in the beginning.
Because he was in love, but I knew what I had.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and he didn't know. Yeah. So.
He was in hip.
But I was doing it for the mom, and that's what makes it good.
I was doing it for the mom.
The Mexican moms will guilt you. They'll guilt you into doing stuff, man.
But yeah, he had no idea, dog. He wasn't hip like you, dog.
Her mom was.
Crazier?
Yeah, well,
that's two generations of good pussy, probably.
She used to do cleansings on the house in the middle of the night with the sage and then
the web and all that stupid shit. Stuff, dude. Oh, no. And then, she's a fucking bruja, dog.
She used to hide the butcher knives because her aunt was not schizo.
So you saw the genetic crazy and you still took her.
Yeah, well, you know, I felt bad.
You're the real hero. Oh, you're the true hero right here.
He's crazy, dog. Come on. Oh, he's Christian now.
So that's cool.
He's kung fu.
Let's get kung back fu. To your, oh, yeah, back your to cooking me. Show. What cooking is your cooking show? Show
yes. Oh, well, the cooking show is chopping it up with the Boykin brothers. As me and my younger brother and...
You know how Boykins?
We're Boykins. That's my original name. Keith is my middle name.
Although it's not Byron Keith.
That's my middle name. Because you know, there's a gay porn black dude, Byron Keith, and I used to get
now
slapped.
Now we don't know that. Oh, yeah, why you said it like we should all know this?
Byron Keith, and they sleep with me.
Here we go.
It was you with the little mask on.
Can't be a Byron Keith black man.
Sure, Byron. They used to get you and the other Byron confused.
You guys all know that black gay porn star, Brian. No,
they used to get him and another Byron confused.
Y'all don't know him?
No, Byron, we don't know him.
At Home Savings, there was a can we say Marica?
Maricon? Yeah, whatever you want, bro.
Over there. And his name was Byron, Maricon.
His name was Byron,
and he had such a flaming reputation, man. They always thought it was him. It was the other, no, he's on, no, it's the other Byron, y'all.
Nah, that's my twin.
He hit on Junior.
Yeah.
And they thought it was me. And yeah. I had to do with that man.
Tell him what he did to Junior.
Oh, when he took Junior and he grabbed on him that time?
In the closet, yeah.
And Junior was gay too, but I guess he was over.
We love you, Junior. Yeah. I still talk to Junior.
You do?
Yeah.
Love you, Junior.
Remember you got accosted, Junior? We're defending you, man. Yeah. We're defending
But it wasn't me. It wasn't me.
Yeah.
It wasn't me. But yeah, he took him in the room and started.
So Byron started fondling him and.
Not me.
And then,
not me.
No. And then later on, Junior was like explaining it to us. And me being, you know, a dude.
Dude.
Like, why didn't you just get out of there? Why didn't you just stop him, man? He's all, I didn't want to offend him.
Right.
He's like, fine, Neverland right now.
I know, huh?
You guys ever, both of you guys, I know, you guys ever been kidnapped by Barcena?
Like,
mom, bro, let's go ride.
Yeah.
In his defense, he's a pretty good teacher, right? When he's sober, tell you how to focus.
Yeah.
But all the stuff they tell you to do, he don't do it.
That's right.
No lie, dog. He got tired of the way I talk one time.
Uh-huh.
Like, big time, right, bro? Mm-hmm. The way you talk, bro, the way you sound like that, all that bass, bro.
I remember
it's horrible, bro. You stutter, dog. And he gave me like a bunch of paper. Put all this paper in your mouth, bro, and just talk like that for every day, bro, till you get to the stage. Yeah. My dumbass did it, bro. Bro, I have my mouth full like a fucking hamster, bro. Full
like
of
Brando and shit in the Godfather.
Full of paper towels, and I'm walking around Silver Lake practicing my line. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. We had a talk about that one time about you, and he said he did that to you, and I was like, wow, fucking he did
it. Where'd he get that advice from?
I know, right?
Like Joe D has always said that the way this fool talks, that's his flavor.
Some torturous dad who just didn't like you growing up or what?
But what did they do to
like
you in Mexico,
Mexican
bro?
Discipline. Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, bro, and then walk on fire, dog.
Yeah.
Barefooted. What's your ass out? Does it make you a better comic?
Fuck, dude.
Okay, anyway, Boykin Brothers. Chopping up with the Boykin Brothers.
So you went to culinary school?
I did.
Okay.
Cordon Bleu.
Yes, Cordon Bleu. And that was the toughest year and a half.
You were blood, huh? You were blood. You were like
Cordon Bleu.
Okay. Well, you can give me the trick bag, homeboy, because I know some Crips and Bloods. And what, homeboy? Okay, anyway.
He all brazy.
Yeah. So, anyway, I went to Cordon Bleu.
This is after the daughter was born.
Yes.
Okay.
That was part of my
rehab.
Figuring things out.
Right.
So,
rehab.
Yeah. Because me and her mom. Anyway. After we went to Cordon Bleu to start working in different restaurant, things like that. Got my chops up. And then I still wanted to do comedy. I tried to work it in, but I couldn't do both. I couldn't focus. Right. And so the comedy was suffering because I was so focused on cooking. After that, I just gave it up. I gave up comedy and just started focusing on cooking. Anyway, years later, my brother and I, we were going to have my nephew do a YouTube channel. He's a fireman. And we found out that over like 100,000 applicants try every year, but they can't pass the physicals. My nephew, he's buff and big and strong like that. And we're going to have him show people how to pass the physicals. And we thought it was brilliant. So when time comes to shoot, he got scared. He said, I can't do that. I don't want to do it. Like, fuck, we got all this equipment. We got the production. What are we going to do? Fuck, well, let's just do it ourselves. You know, we're funny together. And so we make a little comedy with the food. And we have a good rapport. And we just started the channel. And it grew from there. So
what's your specialty? Is it desserts? Is it?
I like to cook. Actually, it's Mexican food. I love to cook Mexican food. Okay. But our channel, we cook everything. And what our niche is making it fast, easy, and simple for the average person.
Right.
I have some chef friends who are like get pissed off because it's not authentic and it's not from scratch and da da da. But as long as we make it, takes like 5-star.
Yeah.
Right.
And you get a box of something and put it together, make it.
This yeah, food. And then for a while there, you were doing the ratings, like you would go out and do critiques and stuff
Yeah, we do the critiques and stuff like that. And,
yeah. So okay. he's got a cool website, Me Love Food, right? Or that's, Roses?
We're revamping that. So,
okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So go to YouTube channel.
Yeah, the YouTube
follow
channel.
Follow them at Boykin Brothers on Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook, and these people are on MySpace still. I don't know why.
Yes.
Now, and email, if you want to email them, man, for some advice at Boykin Brothers, BOYKINBROS at gmail.com. Yeah, and you have a show coming up?
Hold on. Oh, so what time we got? How much more time we got?
Wait, we got some time.
We got some time? Yeah. Well, let me ask you. I want to ask you.
Yeah.
Shoot. You got to hit
it? Yeah,
up? All right, everybody. All right. Byron's out, man.
Byron's out, man. Thank you for the cheese, bro.
Yeah, man.
Thanks, fool.
You got my number, homeboy.
Hell yeah.
Call me if you need some more.
Yeah. Right.
And if you guys need any catering or anything like that, I'll hook it up.
All right.
Hell yeah, fool.
And I'll tell jokes while I'm cooking.
But this Boykin, we don't want the
we don't
gay
want
porn
the other,
star.
We don't want the other.
No, that's Byron Keith.
We don't want
that's Byron Keith.
That's what he said. I highly doubt it.
So. Oh, you see how y'all do? I'm the only black man in here. And
Don't go. We'll take a picture so you can stand right there. So when we do the photo, we'll get closer. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get this light.
They're going to Photoshop you, bro.
Get in.
I'm going to put the other guy in.
Like the Old Spice man. Put him on a horse.
I hate you.
I got him. Cool, got you.
All right, man.
Cool, thank you, bro.
Yeah, man.
That shit was fun, dog.
So look at that. You're responsible for the daughter and this cooking channel.
Pleasure, yeah.
Man. Pleasure, man.
You never met this fool?
Never, dog.
Damn. Because
when I started Ruben Quintana, the only time I ever worked with you was on that Baker.
Ruben would start every story he would have. It would be, hey, me and Byron.
Hey, Byron, before you go,
yes.
Byron, you know, Byron's a manly man, had women and stuff like that. And remember that one time we pulled up to the Shell station and you went out to go get your little box of gym hats?
What?
So Byron goes out and he pulls up into the Shell station, his favorite Shell station that he used to go to before he would go and buy his prophylactics. Right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And Byron says he would always buy the Magnum version because, I don't know if it's true or not, but, he did that for himself.
Okay.
But anyway, long story short, other than with the cops too. Remember that story?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
So Byron pulls up in front because it's a Shell station where they just put out the little metal basket because they don't want nobody robbing them and stuff like that. So Byron's pointing at the condoms that he wants. And then the guy looks out into the car because I'm in the passenger seat because he wants to see what fine chick Byron has, right? And he sees me in the car and he looks at Byron. He's like, give him. And Byron's like, no, it's not like that. And the guy's like, oh, no, it's okay. It's okay, bro. It's okay.
I don't judge. Is that Mr. Byron Keith? Is that?
Okay. And another time, these two detectives, LAPD detectives, came to his house and they were looking for his aunt. And Byron opens up the door. He's like, yeah. And Byron's like in a towel. You just got a towel around your waist, right? Looking all mandenko.
We're going to the club.
All Shaka Zulu.
So the officers came in. They're talking to me. And then Ruben, that's when he has long hair. Down here wet.
Because I have the shower, and I come down, my hair's all wet, because I never used to dry my hair with a hair dryer. My sister used to hate me for that, right? Because my hair was beautiful, bro. It was like, it was, man.
It was straight, bro.
Straight, no split ends, just no product in it, man. Just let it naturally dry, and it was gorgeous, man.
He's just talking. He's looking for your aunt. He looks at me and he looks at Ruben.
And because I'm coming down the stairs with my hair all mojado hanging out to the side and everything.
Glowing
like
and glistening.
And he looks at Byron. He looks at me. And then they look at each other like, oh, okay, we see what's going on. Byron's like, no, we're not gay. We're not gay.
Hey, hey, you're not gay if you come down here wet.
We always get confused with stuff like that. Another time they pull us over. The Ruben and Byron stories, we can go all day with this. And the sheriffs, right? One of them was a rookie, you know. It's the LAPD, right? No, LA sheriffs. And we were coming back from the movies and we saw a lethal weapon. And so they pull us over and they get us out of the car. And then the guy said, who's the trainer, he says, do you know why we pulled you over? And I'm like, man, here we go again, right? And the lady says, yeah, yeah, where were you guys coming from? And I said, well, we just got done seeing Lethal Weapon. Oh, yeah, well, I got the same kind of gun. And she's all shaking like Barney Fife, you know, reaching for her gun and stuff like that. I'm like, I ain't that serious. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
And I was pissed, man. I said, man, I wish you to, you know. And the guy said, the cop, he's all like, no, do you really want to know why we pulled you over? Because you guys fit the description of two people that just robbed a liquor store. You know that same old line they give you all the time. And I said, man, I wish you would arrest these two people, you know. And the guy's all, why? Because we're always getting pulled over for the crap that they do, you know. The guy didn't know what to say, you know?
Yeah.
Good old days.
All right, fool. What's up, fool? You have dates coming up?
No. Actually, I'm working on the YouTube channel right now, so I got some corporate stuff coming up, but that's not open to the public.
You do a lot of
corporate
gigs?
Yeah. So right now I do corporate, I do churches, you know, things like that. So high schools and middle schools, or junior highs is what they call them. So,
you do clean shit now?
Yeah.
You're still always clean.
For the most part, I would have cuss words and stuff like that, but it wouldn't get raunchy, you know? Yeah, so, but you guys know that.
What's up, fool? The Bad Ambulance Tour is coming to your town. If you guys want, I'm not going to give away free tickets, but check this out. That's the, you guys ever heard of Flat Stanley? You get it at school, and you take the little Flat Stanley everywhere.
And you take pictures.
Yeah, but it's a Flat Felipe. You cut it off, and you post to different places, man. You can color it. And do different things like, hey, he's sitting next to River Quintana. That's a photo right there. Uh-huh. He's chilling with Rodrigo. He's Eric Rivera has it next to the crib. And just mention your city, and the most creative ones, I'll give you a pair of free tickets. Like if you live in Austin, Texas, and then you have this all over Austin, hey, if I like it, I'll give you a free ticket to the show. If you live like in Stockton and you have this, anywhere the Bad Ambulance Tour is, just cut it off, put it up on stage, on wherever you're at, hang out with him, take him to the strip bar, take him to school, take him for breakfast, take a photo of it, tag me, and just tag Flat Felipe, and I'll hook you up, print it out, and link it to Instagram, design the color, cut it out, take it to all your adventures, take photos, post it with a hashtag, Flat Felipe, and mention your city, and we'll choose the most creative one, and you win free tickets. That's it. And also, man, I'm going to be at Irvine, California this weekend. Salinas, California, May 31st, Fox Theater, Stockton, California, June 1st, Bob Hope, Santa Barbara, June 7th, Granada Theater, Austin, Texas, June 8th, Moody Theater in Austin, Texas, and also San Jose, New Orleans, NYC, Atlanta. What's up, fool? We should come stop by and do one of our shows one day. We'll give you do a spot with us.
Okay. Yeah, for sure.
People are going to like you, bro. They like your stories. I feel it.
You're
a fucking maniac, dog.
I feel like you break it already, huh? Yeah.
What was that?
You
break
it already? Okay.
Crazy how Latino scene out here, huh?
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't know half of this stuff.
Oh, man. And I only remember half.
I'm going to be Googling a lot of these names, finding out some stories.
Oh, we had some cats that were hilarious, man, like Raul Martinez, Marilyn.
Raul Martinez was a Vietnam vet.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And he would have jokes about him being Latino and then being in Vietnam, being a veteran from the Vietnam War. He used to have a joke like this. He goes, he would say that something about his wife will sometimes fucks with me by wearing, like, she will come to dress all sexy with black pajamas.
Uh-huh.
You know? Or one time I woke up sweaty. What happened? Did I have another nightmare? He goes, yeah, what did I do? You sent me for more ammunition. Like that.
So is it a natural thing for comedians to make fun of their old ladies or what?
What
in the routine?
I think you write what you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You write what you know.
We all know that.
Yeah.
Like, your comedy is clean, right? Most part, like Eric Rivera, he didn't even try to be clean. It's just the way it comes out.
No, it's naturally clean, funny. 100% clean. I still touch on the topics, you know, if I got to talk about drugs, relationships, sex, or whatever, but it's clean.
I hear what people say, oh, people already touched it. No, they haven't, bro. Not this generation.
What do you mean?
Like when they say, oh, man, you can't be Puerto Rican, talk about Puerto Rican stuff. Bro, that's his version of it, dog.
Yeah.
Have you heard this version yet? No, bro. This guy's all hip-hop, Puerto Rican. But there's also Puerto Ricans, bro, that are not hip-hop. They're regular fools. Like, not all Mexicans are cholos. Am I right, Eric?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, you don't see Eric running around beating up people at the Puerto Rican parade?
No.
You see him fucking up fools in Cinco de Mayo in L.A. No matter where you go, Eric, it's the nationality that's prominent, huh?
How do I,
you go to Cuba, they go, oh, you're my aunt.
Yeah, that's what they hit you with. Yeah, I moved out here, so I'm originally from New York. But like he's saying, like I grew up in the suburbs. Yeah. So I'm Latino light. Right.
Like there's tequila, and there's tequila light right here.
Yeah, like I did a show in New York. I remember it was at the New Rican Poets Cafe. It was a big Puerto Rican day. It was for the Puerto Rican Day Parade.
Was that the 15th and first of the month? Or?
Yeah, it's like the 15th.
Just kidding, man.
And they had me on the lineup, and the crowd did not like me. They were just like, "Nah, this is not the guy." I didn't have the skinny goatee or the shades on at night. They were just like,
"Nah." The little lime beard.
Yeah. They were not fans of mine.
You didn't have the beach through all the lights.
I didn't have the beaded Puerto Rican flag around my neck. They were not happy.
Hey, comedies. I don't know. How do you guys feel about comedy nowadays, as opposed to like when we were coming through? How we could talk about everybody, everything. Talk about blacks, Asians, whites, Latinos, Native Americans. Just get out there and roast each other. I mean, just totally roast each other. And now, if you get out there and you say a joke, anything remotely close to that, do you think that it's changed?
Yeah, man. Like, there's some jokes. I'm pretty sure. Like, if like when Joey Medina would say the Latino spelling contest, then he would open up the spray can and write on the wall. A lot of people might get that offensive. Like, hey, we're not all like that. Eh?
Well, I started seeing that back when we were doing the colleges, like back when we went to Boston, MIT, and stuff like that. There was stuff out there that the people weren't
laughing at,
but it's stuff that's true. It's real. It's like, this is where I grew up, in a house, you know, with no lights sometimes, no money for food, alcoholism. You know, you go down the street, there's gang trouble. You know, that's just the way it is. And you go to these colleges, at least back then, and that was like in the early 90s and stuff. People would like not want to identify with that.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like,
well, they still like that with college because they're 18. They don't know anything. They know nothing. They've never been to comedy, so they don't know
how to act.
What that is. They don't know. Oh, we could say messed up things. We could talk about this stuff that happened in your life, like you know, growing up poor, like alcoholism and stuff. So for them, it's like, oh no, we don't do that because they don't know any better. I've done colleges where it's been bad, and then as the kids aged, I remember when you came to my school, I get it now.
Okay.
And you're like, oh, you just need
that. So they didn't have that life experience.
Yeah.
I've done colleges where I start talking about my past, and then I hear like, oh my.
Yeah, they feel bad for you. Like, oh, I grew up with a drunk dad. Oh.
People are laughing, but then before they laugh, I hear, oh my.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Right. So they don't know where to laugh or feel sorry for you.
Sorry for you.
So you got to throw out that disclaimer.
And the thing is a lot of the people that do have those experiences, and they're in a big-ass auditorium with people that haven't, they don't. They just fucking go with the conformity because they don't want to be all like fucking, oh, that's not me either.
Yeah.
This is horrible.
It's kind of like
they go with the floor. It's fucking sheep, dog.
It's like you remember Danny Mora, right?
Yeah, Danny Mora.
He told me that if you write your jokes and you make sure that you cater to the women, that you make the women laugh, then the guys are going to laugh. Because if you make the guys laugh first and it's offensive, like to a woman, then she's not going to laugh. And then he's not going to laugh because that's his date. And then it's going to make for an ugly evening for everybody. So what you got to do is make sure that the women are okay with the joke first. Then the guys will come on board. So, yeah.
That's too much to think about, eh?
That's too much math.
I remember, bro, I did a show in Chicago. And there was a college class that went to my show. And they were offended at all my jokes.
Mm-hmm.
They go to Kellogg or whatever, some school called Kellogg, or some other school down the street by the theater, right? But guess what class went to my guess what class they were taking? Diversity and sensitivity.
Okay, yeah.
How the fuck is that a class in college now?
Oh, but that's
so they went to my show to get some a little diversity and a little sensitivity.
No, they didn't get that with you.
So let me tell you, man. Some of them walked out. Some of them hated me. Some of them liked me. But the one who did really like me, she wrote me this long letter like this, you know, words. I didn't read it. My wife read it, wrote it. She just broke it down to me. Basically, she told me that they were going to talk about me at their next class and break down my comedy and all that stuff. But I wanted to have something to back you up with, mm-hmm. you know, when they talk about you. I want to have something to say. And if I would have read that letter, I would have said, bitch, just say you thought I was funny. Leave it as that.
Right.
But now, so Lisa threw in where I was born, what kind of hardships I come through. Because you have a feeling of where it come from. Because they don't know comedy, man. If you have to get all the information first. Would you ask that for Richard Pryor? You know, like, why he hates, why he's doing these jokes like this? You know, why you see the N-word so much?
Right, right. You told me. Crazy, you told me one time.
I love that you have her in your life because comics right away go, "Bitch, get back up! I'm funny." And like, but she's like, "No, no, let me." She does a translation almost like,
"Yeah,
like, I'm gonna translate, bitch. Hold on. So I grew up hardships.
Yeah, so she all that shit, man.
We've been studied before.
And then and I was thinking like I was crazy. Like somebody going to school to learn diversity and sensitivity.
Yeah, and you send them to a comedy show.
You want to look for diversity? Just go. Don't look for it in comedy shows. Don't look for it in. Go look for it in the network, say. That's where the real where you need your diversity at, you know, ABC, NBC.
Yeah.
But they don't go look for that. They try to go small.
No.
And look for us. Like, dude, I'm not even part of the university, bro. Yeah. So, anyways, I didn't go to college, but now I'm part of the college requirement, dog. I'm part of the college requirement. Like, you have to go to my show if you want to pass the class.
Next week, you're going to be taking Felipe 101.
Masacho! What's your Instagram, bro? People can follow you.
RQ Comedian, Instagram, Facebook, and what's the other one? Twitter.
RQ so you do Comedian. Talk at high schools.
Yeah, talk to high
schools. So anybody wants to book you from this show to talk at a school or a prison?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I go to prison too. Yeah. People trip out.
So you have a testimony?
I'm one of the only comedians that's ever been in the Folsom prison. Wow. So I was there about Gilbert maybe 5 years. I think Gilbert went one time. Yeah, I remember Gilbert has a story. He could say it because from the gist of it, him and some dude who was a singer, forgot the brother's name. He's talented too.
Jay Lamont.
Who?
Jay Lamont.
No. Another dude who's if I remember his name, I'll drop it right now. But they walked him to the cell block. And then they let him in there, and then the team, the staff that was there to watch him, or the guards, took off. And they left Gilbert and that dude in there alone for like a long time, man. And they didn't know what to do. They pulled it out. You know, they got funny, and they told their jokes. And the other dude, I think, was a singer and stuff like that. So,
No guard, no security, just the audience.
Experience, yeah. But he pulled it through. But see, that's when you're old school, man. You know what to do. It just comes out of you, you know? The natural funniness, the comedy, because we grew up in a time where we had to go to places like tortillas and they would boo you, they would throw things at you, they would
pull a gun on you.
They pull a gun on you. Yeah, exactly. And but you had to be
like
funny.
You bring a gun on me, bro, because I'm not funny.
Right,
fuck.
right.
Dude,
here, take my money, bro. They're paying me a burrito and $20. Take that.
Yep. So the comedy's changed. You were talking about somebody was talking about the political correctness. That's what the penalty talks is all about, because I don't believe in this whole PC attitude, because when we were kids, everybody was fair game, and that's the way it should be. And now they're bringing back All in the Family and the Jeffersons. How's that? Has it come out yet? I don't even know what it's going to be.
It's
going
to be live, right?
Well, yeah, I don't know if it's going
to be live. What, though? Is it going to be live real, the real stuff that they used to talk about? Or is it going to be live PC and they're going to be trying to push a message through the whole thing? Because that's not comedy, man.
I think it's like they're going to be reading an old script and it's like Jamie Foxx, Wanda Sykes. I don't know. I don't know if they're going to be put.
Yeah.
It's a show. I don't know if whoever's playing Archie Bunker is going to be saying what Archie Bunker was saying.
All in the Family was originally a British show.
Oh, was it?
That was brought to America, and they changed it to All in the Family.
That was Three's Company. Remember that one?
That was a British show, too?
Robin's Nest, yeah.
That's Robin's what it was Nest.
Mm-hmm. So you told me one time.
So there's no originality, huh?
Yeah, I know. Well, just changed the name over. Yeah.
So was House of Cards. It was a British show.
Yeah, it's a hardcore British show. British Parliament, dude.
Felipe, I remember you saying one time that Jackie Gleason said, never take a scalpel to comedy. Remember saying that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So... yeah, it's true. If it works, it works, right? But see, that's true to some extent, you know, because some people out there are still trying the same old stuff that they used to a long time ago. And
Uh-oh.
It's just that. I'm not going to say
names. Name names.
Nah, man.
Love. Come on. Enough with a love master.
But anyway, I believe it, man. Funny is funny. And
you still write?
Well, I still write all the time.
You love it still? You still love the being on stage? You love being on stage?
I cannot not be on stage.
I love being on stage.
You me too.
I can't. Yeah. I can't. It's like it's life, dude. I might as well be 6 feet under if I'm not writing for something, writing for somebody.
Why don't you open up a comedy club? Do you know a comedy club be successful in that area you talk about?
I have to deal with Leonard, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Where's five more the, years.
Leonard, I love you, Leonard, but yeah, parale, man. Enough, bro.
No more loyalty, eh? No more loyalty.
A car ran him over and he still survived, bro. A car literally ran him over.
That was a hit, bro.
This guy, just like when you do a show and you go, hey, we're going to charge you, the breakdown, we're going to pay for this for advertisement, right? Uh-huh. This is money without for advertisement, right? But when you get to the town, there's like, you ever seen those cutout? What do they call the cutout billboards?
Cardboard cutouts.
It's like the sign.
A barber signs, right?
Yeah,
they're all hung like this. A big old Budweiser sign, the theater real small, and Eric Rivera real smaller. But they're all over the city. That's a promotion.
Uh-huh.
It's like it makes it seem like Budweiser is sponsoring the show, but it's not.
Uh-huh. It's like old school promo.
I did a show there one time, bro. It was like, everyone in the city did a favor, bro, and I'm pretty sure somebody made all the money. They had normally at a show, there's bartenders, real bartenders. This motherfucker hired a barber school.
Uh-huh.
So part of the curriculum was to serve beer during the comedy show to get an A.
Uh-huh.
So that was free work already right there. Then outside, there was a Budweiser truck and a Budweiser stand. They were selling beer outside the theater before you go in.
Wow.
Yeah, they had a beer garden out
there. It's like that.
You got to do what you got to do to cut costs. We went to a friend's wedding.
We made no money.
We went to a friend's wedding recently, and everybody in her bridal party was, that's the florist. That guy right there, he did the decorations. I was like, what?
So Leonard's kind of like he has the padrinos for the comedy show.
He's the godfather of flyers.
Yeah.
Ponme la cerveza.
El padrino de open mic right here.
Yeah.
El padrino del pastel.
Oh, that's funny.
And we're going to throw in that guy with that does the joke with a Hawaiian t-shirt and a fucking price tag.
Yeah.
What's that fool's name?
Oh, Sergio.
Sergio!
Oh, I remember. Yeah, Sergio. Guzman.
Dude, that fool Sergio showed up to my show one time with an escort, I think, bro. It was a young, hot black chick.
Uh-huh.
All right, people. What's up, fool? A big hand for Ruben Quintana.
What's up, fool?
Yeah. RQ Quintana on Instagram, on Twitter. Eric Rivera. Thank you again for showing up again.
Oh, dog. Thanks for having me,
love
man.
Love to have you back. Rodrigo Torres, you have shows?
Yeah, June 11th, we have Viva Los Jokes in Spanish. Felipe will be there along with Martin Rizzo. So come out, Life Bar Center.
Eric, you have shows?
Yeah, June 9th, I'm at the Brea Improv. So come on out. There's a promo code Rivera, free tickets.
Rivera free ticket. So check out Eric Rivera at the Brea Improv June 9th. We're going to remind you next week again. Hashtag Eric Rivera Brea Improv. Ruben Quintana has private shows. You would have to work for Toyota to watch that show.
If you guys want me to do a show, just hit me up on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter and stuff like that. I'll let you know what the prices are.
He turned into a vieja,
bro. Dude, that shit killed me, dog. And you know what's crazy about that fool? I asked last time I seen him, I'm all, dude, why do people hate you, dog? You're a big-ass thief and you fucking, why? I don't know. There must be something wrong, bro. I was like, is this fool delusional or he just acts that way, dog?
I couldn't answer that without opening up a whole another hour and a half.
I remember
of words.
One time one is like,
just
what's wrong with
just tune in to penalty talks.
penalty talks.
How many personalities does he have, bro? Is he Sybil, bro?
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
I have no idea.
But when he owed Joey Medina that money, bro. For 60 measly bucks. And then Joey Medina hit him up he hit him up. I was gonna pay you, bro, but then my friend died, bro. I don't give a fuck, bitch. That motherfucker, that bitch didn't owe me no money, dog.
Man.
Didn't the devil follow him to Santa Barbara, dude, or somewhere? Because he's make sure he wasn't pirating his shit on stage?
What's up? The devil, Jeff, he thought that Ernie G was doing his jokes. So that's how crazy Jeff is. He drove his car over to Santa Barbara and sat in the back and watched the whole act.
Man.
I would have fucked him up both, man. What's up, fool?